Blog Talk Radio.
Run a little bit long on Lunatic Fringe there, because that is potentially the last time you will hear it as a startup music for Whiskey Mint Barbecue in the Pit. As you guys know, in the works, for folks that listen week in and week out, we contracted. It was a cost us a couple of Coors Lights and some opiates, but we were able to contract Dorsey O'Dell to do the Whiskey Mint in the Pit intro song. Have heard it a couple times. Jam up. Damn good song. And now he has found somebody to put that on MP3 for us. And so we'll get those tracks laid down. He'll get them over to me. And we're shooting for, by next Tuesday, to have the new and improved Whiskey Mint Barbecue in the Pit radio show intro song by none other than the man himself, Dorsey O'Dell. So hope you enjoyed that Lunatic Fringe. We will not open or close with it. Once Dorsey's song is available, we will retire Lunatic Fringe, and it will go to the only two places it can go, and that is the Boneyard for Internet Barbecue Radio Show intro and outro music, or to the Boneyard for probably one of the best high school wrestling movies ever produced in Hollywood, Vision Quest. So, that's where I heard that song at the first time. Loved it. Vision Quest, great movie. If you guys ever screwed around, wrestled in high school, whatever, or just want to see a bunch of guys in singlets wrestle around, some guy named Shoot, you know, blah, 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 check the movie out. Vision Quest, actually pretty good. So, all right, thank you guys for joining us. It is December 4th here. Christmas is going to be here before you know it, guys. 3 weeks away. It is approaching on us quickly. So welcome, glad to have you on. I'm your host, Chad Ward, Whiskey Mint Barbecue in the Pit. If you want to reach out to us tonight, during the show, after the show, any point in time, a couple of ways to get a hold of us. Obviously by email, whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com. Also on Facebook at Whiskey Bent or Whiskey Bent BBQ. Also on Twitter at Whiskey Bent BBQ. That's the easiest ways to get a hold of us. Last week, huge show, record-setting show for Whiskey Mint Barbecue in the Pit. We had two guests, and good ones at that. We had Darian from Cosmos Q. Darian, repeat offender here in the Pit, always comes in, always has a wealth of knowledge. you know, does a great job. You know, Darian's just a cool guy, man. You know, you really enjoy listening to him. That's a guy that, you know, had a passion, started a line of products based off of it. All good things with Darian. So comes on the show and talks. Drops a hell of a discount code for the listeners, which, by the way, guys, I think we may have him and Craig Sherry end up bidding war. I'll tell you what, I think next time Craig Sherry comes on, he's going to throw a little sweet deal on us. So, and actually, we'll probably have Craig on here in the next week or two just because Craig's got such good gift options over there at Texas Pepper Jelly with what he does with his jellies and the tins and just really good for that foodie in your life that you're looking for something for. So anyway, I digress. I'm back to Cosmos. Great interview. And then second, we had Joe Beelen, Tippy Canoe Barbecue. Joe was a great guest. Really, first time having on the show, and like I told you guys before, first time I've ever talked to Joe Beelen besides, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Good luck today. When I have those kind of interactions with guys that are out there doing good things, I want y'all to be able to hear. I want y'all to be able to be part of it. I want it to be like a barbecuer meeting somebody for the first time is getting to talk to somebody for the first time. And that's what we did last week with Joe Beelen. What a great interview. What a blast it was to talk to him. What great things he's got going on over there. He's got his line of classes we talked about. Obviously, the partnership with Western Wood. Really, really cool. One of the things, I know we don't have chat totally blown up yet. I'm going to ask it again. But I would like you, because I see a lot of familiar names in chat. How many of you guys, when we get done going live and we have to have that hard two-hour stop, how many of you guys will go and either come back to Blog Talk Radio or download it on iTunes and fast-forward through the first 2 hours and listen to kind of that after-hours segment? If any of you guys have done it, I'd like just some feedback on it. Is it worth it? Should I not? Should I stay to the 2 hours and just when I'm done, I'm done? Or do you feel like that kind of time afterwards is really good discussion that you guys know I get long-winded and I don't want to stop the conversations. So you know, I'm going to keep going until, you know, it just continues to naturally flow. So I'll leave it up to you guys. I've got McDearman, Mikey D, and Jim Elser saying it's worth it. So, yeah, we'll keep rolling with it. So if we got a good topic and we can keep rolling, we'll keep rolling. Zombie, good to see you in the show tonight over there in chat. Yeah, check it out. When we get cut off right at 9 o'clock, you can always go to iTunes or back here to Blog Talk Radio, fast forward to the two-hour mark, and go ahead and catch the kind of after-hours part of the show. So, once again, thanks to Cosmos. Thanks to Joe Beelen. Drop the number. I didn't even realize it until I was listening to Rimpy's show. One good thing that Blog Talk Radio has is we get pretty instant feedback on how many listeners we've had. And your average run-of-the-mill shows 100, 150 listeners. First time we hit over 300 was Scotty Johnson. And since Scotty, we've kept a lot of people coming back. I think by having Scotty on, a lot of people that didn't know about us found out about us. And so we stayed towards those good numbers. And then last week was our biggest week ever. And it was a 577 live listeners. For something that's not contest-driven, awards-driven, that type of thing, I think that is a 577. It's a hell of a number. I'm proud of it. I thank you guys because, you know, I couldn't do it without you. You're the guys that when we send out the updates, you're forwarding them on, you're sharing them on Facebook, you're sharing them on Twitter, those type of things. So this show is only as successful as it is because of you guys, and I really appreciate that, and I'm really appreciative of it. Makes me feel good. It makes it worth carving these 2 hours out every week. And I look forward to it, man. It's a good time. So thank you guys. Well, hey, we're going to keep going onward and upward. Like I say, if you guys ever have recommendations on what we can do on the show, you know how to reach me. Whiskey Bent Barbecue, Twitter, Facebook, Whiskey Bent Barbecue at Gmail. Nobody can say that I'm the least accessible guy in the world. So you guys know if you ever have comments or questions, I'm here for you. So tonight, what are we going to follow that big show up with? We're going to follow it up with two kick-ass barbecue cooks. First one's going to be Dana Hillis, also known And these parts and all over the country is Big Papa, Big Papa's Country Kitchen. So Dana, coming off 2012 Team of the Year for the Barbecue Association, also coming off a just ridiculous showing out of the World Food Championships. That's going to be fun. So we're going to talk to Dana about both of those things. But the big thing we're talking about tonight is we're going to talk about this new kind of, I would say it's you know, and me and Dana will get the clarification, it's Chopped-esque thing that we're going to start doing at contests where there's mystery bags. There'll be some contests on Friday afternoon. Four folks will square off, two and two. There'll be obviously a champion that comes out of each. And then after turn ends on Saturday, they'll do a little bit of a battle for bragging rights and prizes. So I'm not going to get too much into it because Dana's got all the details. But it's always a good discussion when you get Dana in the house. We're going to talk about some different things. We're going to talk about that. Also going to talk about coming into the Triple Crown there in Perry, what Dana's planning on. And also talk to him about what he's looking at in 2013. So that's going to be Dana Big Papa Hillis. He's going to be our first segment. Second, we are going to go with, dude, one of my boys, guy that I love to death, man. Heart of gold, big dude, hell of a cook, Ernest Cervantes, Burnt Bean Company. You guys know Ernest from winning the Chopped Grill Masters. That guy's been on the road, man. He's putting on miles at the rate that I do for my work. And Ernest has been everywhere. He's going to be on Barbecue Pit Masters. I believe his episode's the one that's going to kick us off on December 16th, 17th, whatever the date is. So talk to Ernest about that a little bit. I'd love to compare and contrast the Chopped. You know, obviously, guys, we're not going to be able to talk about results. I mean, it's a show. People want to know how things turn out. But I want to talk to Ernest a little bit about the difference between the production part of it, between Chopped, Pitmasters, those type of things. I think that'll be really cool. Talk to him about his new trailer. He's got that new trailer with those pit makers on it. Looks beautiful. Looks awesome. We're going to talk to him about some of the contests that he's cooked since last time we talked to him. And we're also actually, for the first time, we're going to go through the competition categories with him and break them down and see if we can't get some tips out of Ernest there. I mean, this is a guy cooking every day, an executive chef, and just a barbecue magician on the weekend. So it'll be fun. Then we're going to talk to him about what he's planning on 2013. So that is going to be a real good time. Next week, already shaping up nice. We're going to have Jim McCoy coming in from Cowboys Barbecue, his contest. And it looks like we're also going to bring in J.D. McGee out there from the Northwest Coast to talk a little bit about how they do things out there. You know, they're already starting to get a little bit of cabin fever, so I know J.D. would love to come on barbecue. And then we're probably going to try to slide one more in there, and that is Craig Sherry. If he's got time for us next Tuesday, I'd like to get Craig in there, and we'll have a real nice show planned for you guys. I want to congratulate Three Eyes Barbecue, Dan Hickson, and all the boys. Great job, KCBS Team of the Year. You know, for a Mid-Atlantic team to win KCBS Team of the Year, kind of a big deal. You know, usually that's something that's more Midwest happening. But Dan and those guys, they probably never would have thunk it whenever they came to Pig Fest and had a good finish. I mean, finished top 20 probably. But then to go on such an absolute tear this year. Three Eyes Barbecue's done a great job. Congratulations to them. Also, Munch and Hogs at the Hilton, you know, taking second in Team of the Year. Once again, anytime you can go out there and you can run that KCBS trail and just find yourself in the top 10 of that deal, it's pretty honorable. So, and speaking of KCBS Team of the Year, for any of you guys that also listen to my good buddy Greg Rempe over on his show at 9 o'clock, the Barbecue Central show over on theoutdoorcookingchannel.com. You may or may not know, we had a little bet that probably kicked off 6 months ago. You got to understand, I believe in my FBA compadres, stand behind them, support them. And with that being said, I made a bet with Greg that he was real high on True Bud, which True Bud Barbecue is a great, great competition team. They came out of the gates early. And I said, you know what? I've got an FBA brother that I know cooks a ton of KCBS. And he's always on top of things at the end of the year. And that's a Bubba Latimer over there at Bubba Q. So I told Greg, he was on the True Bud bandwagon, and I was in chat on his show one night. And I said, I'll tell you what, Greg. Why don't we put all the hair and facial hair on the line, and I will say Bubba Q will finish higher than True Bud in the final 2012 KCBS Team of the Year rankings. Well, I lost. True Bud comes in 12th place with 2,695 points, and Bubba Q comes in 14th place with 2,676 points. So 19 KCBS Team of the Year points are going to make me. Guys, let's not act like I shave my head. I do it all the time. I'm balding. A lot of male pattern baldness. But let me tell you what I'm really upset about. This goatee of mine. I have grown really, really, really accustomed to it. I like it. And it's going to come off. So me and Greg did a little bit of negotiating last night. And so the decision has been made. Greg's like, I want video, this and that. And I said, you know what? I said, here you go, Greg. I said, let me keep it until after turn-ins at Lakeland Pig Fest. I said, after turn-ins at Lakeland Pig Fest, you know, there's teams from all over the country. I'm sure plenty of local teams won't mind capturing it on video for you. We will go ahead and chop that thing off before the award ceremony. So the wife, not real happy about it. Me, definitely not happy about it. But it's going to go. And it's going to go because when a man makes his word and makes a gentlemanly wage, that's just what happens. But Bubba Latimer, not upset with you at all. Always a top finisher in my book. And you came so dang close, man. When I saw you pull out that GC this weekend, I was like, man, maybe that'll bridge the gap. Maybe that'll bridge the gap, but it didn't. So anyway, good bet. You know, Rempy, great guy. Love him to death. And we'll pay up on it. So I'm sure you'll be seeing the video around the end of January of me losing the goatee and the other facial hair, top of the head. I'm sure I will look pretty weird with no hair at all. Anyway, so Rippy, you win. Congratulations, and your prize will be coming shortly. All right, one thing I want to hit on before we go over to Dana real quick. Got a chance to cook a new local contest here in Lakeland, Florida this weekend called When Pigs Fly South Barbecue Fly-In, put on by Donovan Tinsley. We're going to try to have Donovan come on the show here in the next week or probably 2 weeks out if we can. And Donovan did a great job putting on a first-time event. The guy's in marketing, so he understands it. Also, got a really good competition barbecue team called Gourmet Rednecks. Has always done really well at Lakeland Pig Fest. But just good local guys. And just wanted to put something on at Sun and Fun, what we call here. If you guys don't realize, every year here in Lakeland, we have the biggest, I believe, recreational fly-in in the country. And it happens all right here in Lakeland at what they call Sun and Fun. Huge facility. Underground electricity. Just bukus and bukus of acres of land. And Donovan and his team and the Sun and Fun folks did such a magnificent job this weekend. We had plenty of land. We had plenty of power. I will tell you what, we had a little bit of a snafu. If you follow us on Facebook, it's just a ribs and chicken contest. So I was traveling kind of until late Friday. So Jared and I talked, said, hey, look, you be here at 7 o'clock. We'll load up the trailer. We'll go out there for what we do with chicken and ribs. We don't need an overnight. And we'll be fine. Well, we get everything loaded up. Jared looks over. He looks at me, and he goes, dude, he said, these left side tires are in a bad way. I'm like, well, maybe they just need some air, whatever. We get in, they look, and boom, both of them, steel belt showing. I don't know how we got back home from Plant City safely, but we got lucky. Thank the good Lord. And so we call our buddy over at B&L Tire here, local company, been in business about 55 years. Called Chris, and Chris said, you know what, man, guys, I'm not open on Saturday or Sunday. Like, damn, he goes, but I'll tell you what, know you, love you. He said, I'm going in the office to check on some things. You come down, he goes, I'll sell you the tires. He said, I just can't have you guys going to one of these big chains and paying, you know, twice what you need to pay. He said, y'all come on up here. I'll get them. Because I can't mount them, though, because I don't have the time, and it's going to take a while for my shop to get up. So we go, grab the tires, roll over, and get them. I'll tell you what, it's the only place where I've ever mounted tires, bought a pound of chicken gizzards, and bought the newest Rick Ross CD. All right there, one-stop shop. It is the original Supercenter before Walmart started doing it. But we got them mounted up, got them back to the house. 9:30, tires are on, pull out. We show up there at Sun and Fun at 10 o'clock. First turn-in's at 4, chicken. Ribs obviously have to go on before that. So Jerry jumps on it. He starts getting the ribs ready. I start getting fires lit. The Southern Bread, start getting the pellet cooker, the GMG up. Long story short, within the 8 hours we were there, so let's say from 10 o'clock until 6 p.m. awards, I will guarantee you that no less than a half dozen to 8 people came by and checked on us. Different people, not just events. Or not just, you know, one person coming by 8 times. You know, it'd be this person from Sun and Fun or this person from Sun and Fun. Or Donovan would come by or one of Donovan's staff would come by. And I'm sitting there going, my goodness, man, for only being a one-day event, these people are really committed and really doing a good thing. And so I want to say we had a great time. It was a great contest. We were fortunate. We walked out of there with a reserve grand champion, got the results, and looks like we missed by about half a point on GC. First time cooking ribs competition-wise in the Southern Bread Smoker, and we take a first-place rib with a 178 out of 180. Loved it. It was just a whole other layer of flavor there. We kept the chicken on the tried and true GMG. Came out with a 6 there. So it was a great contest. And for any of you folks listening that may be part of Lakeland Pig Festival, let me tell you right now, love Tiger Town to death, but let's move Pig Fest to Sun and Fun. They've got the facilities. They've got the utilities. They've got the infrastructure. And you know what? The Sun and Fun people want us there. When you walked away from that, the one thing you looked at was Sun and Fun wants barbecue to be part of their organization. So we hope we can make that happen. We're going to help Donovan and his team grow when Pigs Fly South, barbecue fly-in, grow even more. I'll tell you what, guys, there was 50 at 11 o'clock. There was 50 planes in pattern waiting to land just to come eat some barbecue. That's pretty damn cool here in Lakeland, Florida. So Donovan Tinsley and your team, great job. And once again, if anybody from Pig Fest is listening, and I hear there may be a guy getting elected to sit on the Pig Fest board that has a radio show on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9. And if he gets elected and approved, I will definitely voice that opinion. So we'll see what happens. All right, before we go over to Dana Hillis, something me and Dana are going to both talk about, and that is this contest, the second weekend of January, that our good friend Jim McCoy's putting on, FBA contest, Cowboys Barbecue down there in Fort Pierce. Already got a real, real nice list of teams that plan on coming down. I think I counted the other day, we already 22 teams confirmed. And I'll tell you what, man, if you don't know Jim, you need to meet him. He is one of the coolest daggone guys. Always just cares about his contest, man. It means a lot to him. He's a barbecue cook. He's cooked in the FBA and the KCBS for years. And, you know, now not as active on the tour as need be, but you stick your head. But he understands what cookers want and what cookers need. So you're going to have good power. You're going to have good water. You're going to have ice available. You're going to have complimentary beer. I mean, hey, you know, let's just be honest. Jim ain't no stick in the mud, man. He likes to have a good time. So you need to go over there. Go to CowboysBBQAndSteakCompany.com and check it out. You can download it right there. Or if you want something even easier, go over to the Florida Barbecue Association website, flbbq.org. Go to contest and look at the upcoming contest and click that hot link right there off of the site and go check out what Jim's got going on. It is it's going to be a great contest, a really good time, good prize money, And it's going to be one of the more cooker-friendly events that you ever cook. So with that being said, let me pull up my buddy here, old Dana Hillis. Dana, what's going on, man?
How are you, Chad? It's fun to sit here and listen to you, brother.
Well, hey, man, I'm glad at least one person in the country thinks it is.
Man, I love it. I listen in whenever I can. I realize I don't listen as often as I should, but if a Tuesday night rolls around and I roll in and I got 10 minutes, man, I got you on listening. It's always good. I usually check with you, see who you got on. I enjoy your show. Really do. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Anytime, Danny. You always got time on these airwaves. And one of these days at a contest, I'm going to get you aside and I'm going to show you how you can download it for free to your phone. And when you and Janet are on these 2, 3, 4, 8-hour rides to go to a contest, how you can just listen to all the ones you've missed right there. I'm gonna teach you. I'm gonna learn you. It's a long process teaching you old dogs some new technology tricks. But I'm up for the challenge, my friend.
Well, if I got my 17-year-old around, he handles all that for me. You know how that is.
Excellent, man. So obviously the big news this week is you jump out there and you win another Team of the Year, 2012 Team of the Year, Florida Barbecue Association. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's it's not an easy chore. You got to make up your mind right now if you're going to jump on it next year and try to cook a bunch of contests. And it doesn't matter that you cook a lot of contests. You got to be lucky enough to win some of them, and you got to do well and be consistent. Thinking that you can jump out and beat a Terry McKay or beat a Swamp Boys or – you know, whoever else, Blitzkrieg made a run at it. Blitzkrieg probably cooked as consistently as anybody all year long. He's one sauce recipe away from being the guy to beat. Just one detail. Next year is going to be a lot of fun because there's a lot of people that want to jump out in these first few contests. If they do well, they're going to run after it. I really think there's several teams that are going to chase after it next year.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. You know, you got to be honest. You know, Rub Bagby, I didn't really pin him down at the beginning of the year and say, Rub, are you going to go after it? But, man, that guy has been cooking lights out. I think when I had him on 2-3 months ago, I said, Rub, I don't think you finished outside the top 5 maybe twice and outside the top 10 maybe once. And, man, I know, Dana, when you looked at it, you had to say, man, is there a way he's going to catch me? And, man,
absolutely.
He gave you all the push you wanted. And that's not taking anything away from Terry. You know, you always know Terry's going to cook a full schedule, and Terry's a hell of a cook. But, man, old Rub kind of came out of nowhere. You know, he missed a couple of events that he probably could have made for other reasons, or he couldn't get the time off or whatever. But, man, when he showed up at a contest, he was all over it this year.
It's a streaky thing. If you look at what all happened last year, and I follow this stuff because I write about it in all different magazines. I keep up with what everybody's doing. Terry won the first contest of the year last year. Then I went on a hot streak. I won four grands and 3 reserves out of like 10 contests. And when I turned around and looked, Terry's right behind me. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't chase him. I couldn't lose him. And then he went on his hot streak and passed me up. And then I don't know how it happened. Somehow I passed him back up. And then he got drawn for the Jack, and I picked up a contest on him. And, you know, it's frustrating when you go get a reserve grand champion and you lose 10 points to the guy behind you,
yeah,
in front of you, man. It's a trip.
Well, you know, what I like about it and what I think is great about, you know, the way it works is, you know, you guys no one ever says, well, hey, I'm going to pass up going to the Jack or the World Food Championships to chase the Florida Team of the Year. Well, one is it's a lot of bragging rights and a big trophy, but there's not a lot of money associated with it. And that's fine. Everybody knows that going in. But the thing is, you're still able to make a run at Team of the Year, but balance the cool stuff. If you want to go to the Royal, if you want to go to the Jack, if you want to go to the World Food Championships, if you just want to go cook some cool out-of-state contest, you can, and you can still be in the running for it if you cook well enough.
We were lucky enough. Luck's got a lot to do with it. Anybody that's out here cooking and competing with this tough competition knows that if luck ain't on your side, you don't have the good mojo, you don't have all the things falling in line, you know. All it takes is one judge to give you an 8 or a 7.5, and, man, you're pretty much out of the running, unless your name's,
yep,
Swamp Boys. he has went on a tear that he had 21st-place chicken the other day and still won.
Wow.
It's amazing. But you know what? He's you got to give him credit. He's been doing it as long as anybody. He hit that slump and was frustrated. He was really frustrated because, man, that man takes this stuff as serious as anybody I know.
Hey,
and for him to come on like he did, man, he deserves it. He's one of the best guys out there. Works harder at it than anybody, and we'll see how long his hot streak lasts. There's several guys out there gunning for him.
Oh.
There's a couple new teams out there that are really close, and man, it's going to be interesting first of the year. We'll see how these first few contests turn out. It's going to be fun.
No, and I agree with you. And, you know, and the one thing about it is, I mean, you know, Rub used to have it made a little bit because he had a lot of comp time and he could take a Friday off and go to a contest. But now you're talking about a guy that doesn't have that built in anymore. So he's having to work his teaching day till 2:30 and then, you know, load up, grab the trailer and go. So, I mean, usually until 7-8 o'clock at night, he's kind of not seen or heard from at a contest. And what it makes is that shows you a guy really just wants to be doing it. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, it would be real easy for him to jump in his Dodge and go home and spend the weekend with the wife and family. But no, he wants to be out there cooking. He wants to be competing. And so, you know, it comes a little bit tough, but he goes out there and gets it done every weekend. And I'll tell you, I mean, if you look at how things shook out this year, I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, Blitz Creek, you know, Tommy and the family, they cooked a lot this year. They finished fourth. Hot Wachulas, man, Matt. Dude, that guy, you know, and the scary thing about Matt is he's cooking every day with that restaurant he has here in Lakeland now. So he's only going to get better. And he's already damn good. So you know how it is, Dana. When you add repetitions like that, and you're doing it every day, whether it's a contest or not, it's tough.
Well, I'm going to cook a full schedule. And I'm going to cook every contest I can next year. We're doing this new little deal with the barbecue throwdown, the big office battle at Barbecue Junction. We're going to do that, and I'm going to jan it and probably have some help to keep on cooking the competitions. But we're trying to come up with something new to draw the crowd in, give the guys something, you know, a little extra to do and you know, a little more prize money, another trophy, something else to, you know, to get the juices flowing.
Yeah.
If I can go into that for a second real quick, I'll tell you what happened.
No. I would like to break it down, and I know the Latin, and for you folks that know, me and Dana haven't talked about this beforehand. Me and him talked about it at the Mulberry Contest in the beginning of October, and he kind of laid out for me what his vision was, and I was like, you know what, man? You may be onto something. This is pretty damn cool. So Dana, take us from the top, man. You know, where'd the idea come from, and let's just flush it out.
Well, a couple of organizers came to me and said, listen, we've been doing contests for 10, 15 years. What can we do to spice things up? Give us some ideas. And I had thought about this, and I wasn't sure if it worked. But what we're going to do is we're going to have two teams. We're actually going to have a four-team throwdown on Friday and Saturday. We have pop-ups with cookers. We've got some cookers provided to us. Each little camp's going to be set up where a team just walks in and cooks what's provided to them. Two teams are going to face off at 2:30. At the Ziggy Dicks contest, we have Jim and Garrett, and they're going to bring in a couple helpers, I think, on this deal. And they're facing off, that's Sweet Smoke Q.
Yep.
They're facing off against Swinos. Jeff Kayer is the team leader from Swinos.
Yep.
If anybody knows them guys, man, they're a hoot. They're going to be a lot of fun. They're going to put on a good show. What's going to happen at 2:30, they get a cooler full of stuff, and by 4:30, they got to have it cooked and turn into some VIP judges. We're actually going to have three VIP judges that are going to be trained right before the turn-ins on exactly what we're looking for. And we're also going to pick a fourth judge out of the crowd. If anybody in the crowd wants to judge, they're going to put their name in a hat so that we're going to get the crowd involved in it. And those four people are going to judge the turn-ins from those two teams. The winner of those two teams goes on to a championship at 2:30 on Saturday. Now, at 6 o'clock Friday night, we have two more teams. We have Bones Brothers Barbecue. He's a local guy out of the Fort Myers area. His name is Todd Noon. He's he works for a company that he's the food guy for an old folks home.
Mm-hmm.
A series of them, and he's in charge of cooking their food and prepping their food. Guy's one of the best cooks I've ever seen in my life, and he's going to face off. We haven't determined who the challenger is yet. We got several people that are wanting to challenge him, and we're just waiting for the right person to step up. So the winner of Sweet Smoke Q and Swino's faces off against the winner of Bones Brothers and whoever theirs is at 2:30 on Saturday. So as soon as briskets turn in, the winners run, and we do it one more time. They get a cooler full of stuff. They got to turn it into the judges at 4:30. And at 5 o'clock when we do awards, we'll find out who the winner of the battle at Barbecue Junction is.
Cool.
That's going to be our first one at Ziggy Dick's in Naples. It's going to be fun to watch. I hope a lot of people turn out. I know the public's getting interested in it. We've got some TV coverage coming. We've got some newspaper coverage coming. We have some VIP judges. We have a newspaper writer going to be there. We have a television personality, a radio personality, and whoever the lucky person is out of the crowd. Then we move on the following week to Jim McCoy's Cowboys contest, and this
yeah.
is where we're going to step it up one notch from there. We're going to break in with these boys in Naples. We have Unknown Barbecue facing off against Forest Fine Foods in the first round.
Yep.
Whiskey Bent. I don't know if you know 100% for sure or not, but I'm telling you right now, you're in the second round at 6 o'clock. We haven't
yeah.
determined your opponent yet, but we've got people fighting over who wants to face off with you at 6 o'clock on Friday. So what's going to happen, Team Unknown is facing Forrest. Forrest has already said that Lee has a new girlfriend, a new romance, and he said his head's not going to be in the game.
Not going to be focused.
He said, Dorsey Odell is so busy fishing for bluegills. I'm not really sure what that means, but he says he doesn't think his head's going to be in the game. He says J.W. is so busy negotiating whiskey contracts that his
yep.
head's not going to be in the game. It's going to be down to Papa Clark, and we'll see what happens. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. No, we're definitely looking forward to it, man. I'm sure they're all lining up to see who can re-chop Whiskey Bent Barbecue. It's already happened once. See if it'll happen again, but I know me and Jared are excited about it, and we may have one wild card cooking with Whiskey Bent that weekend, and I'll tell you he's a guy that everybody knows, and he has a perfect score, so we'll come well equipped to the throwdown at Barbecue Junction for sure.
Well, here's what's cool about it, Chad, that the whole theory behind it is to get the public involved and watch what's going on. What we're going to try and do, and we're going to get the teams that are involved in this to, you know, be public friendly and talk to people as they're cooking. You're under the gun because you got an hour and a half to prepare whatever comes in that box. There's going to be a side dish. There's going to be an appetizer. There's going to be a main meat, whether it be a hamburger or a pork chop or a,
yep.
a steak or fish or shrimp or Janet's worked really hard on figuring out the details and what we're going to do, so it's not going to be easy. And the cool thing is you're going to have a Dutch oven to cook on. You're going to have a pellet cooker to cook on. You're going to have a Big Green Egg. Big Green Egg has stepped up and helped us out a lot. So you're going to have to fire everything up, and you got out, you know, 2 hours to get the stuff ready and turn it into the judges and make it look good. We want to show to the crowd, you know, on a Wednesday afternoon, you get home from work at 4 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, here's what you can have cooked and turned in. You can do a full meal on these grills, man. It's barbecuing at its best.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I like about it is it allows us to show as cooks that we do have our idea around a cooker besides the four competition categories. You know, and it makes us practice and try different things outside of our area. So I think it's a super cool concept, man. I was sold on it when me and you talked from the beginning, and I'm even more amped up about it now.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Janet's going to have a little country store that's going to be set up along with the two tents where
mm-hmm.
all our guys, such as, you know, if you guys got rubs or sauces to sell, if, you know, Hot Wachulas and Big Papas and whoever else, wants to put their product up, you know, we'll sell it. We can use it in the competition. You know, if somebody comes up and has some rubs that they want to give to each team, we'll put them, you know, you're going to have a pantry with all your rubs and sauces. You don't bring anything with you. You just walk in. Everything's going to be sitting there, and you cook and turn it in. It's going to be exciting. The little country kitchen will have all the cookers for sale. We have green eggs for sale. I need to hook up with you on some Green Mountains and you know, the public will come and actually watch what guys, you know, at a regular contest, when guys are busy and, you know, the public
yeah.
walks by, everybody in barbecue is nice enough to speak to people, but it's not user-friendly like it needs to be somehow. And in order to compete the way we do, it's hard to bring the public and get them involved. And I think this is something that will get the public involved. I think they'll really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Doug Francis had a good question here. And is it, will the teams cook with equal pantries? Or
Everything will be identical.
Okay, so I can't say, well, I want to get some of my magic chicken rub. It's going to be, you guys are here, you're not leaving, you got 2 hours, make it happen.
You got it.
Exactly.
If you want your magic chicken rub to be in that pantry, you need to donate some to both tents.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, and I think that's good for the sponsors of this show to listen to. Throwing a case or two of product out there, you're going to have these guys try it and cook with it in these throwdowns for numerous weeks, you know? And so I definitely think that's something that the Darians and the Craigs and those folks of the world, maybe even, great sponsor of ours, the Barbecue Superstore Online, may want to look at. So I think that's a cool concept. Absolutely.
Well, we want to do the little country store, and Janet wants to run that, number one, so hopefully we can make everybody a little money off this thing.
Sure.
Plus, present the products that everybody, everybody's supporting this thing that, wants to help out and give us some stuff to cook with. And if a Whiskey Bent's up there cooking has a product they like to use, they're going to brag about it and tell everybody, and that's going to, put their product out there. And we're going to have fun with this. I'm going to MC the whole thing as it's going on. I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to, we're going to have fun. Jim and Garrett from Sweet Smoke Q's, two of the coolest guys I've ever met, they're rounding up some help, and they're going against Swinos, and those guys are a cast of characters. When you walk into a guy's cook trailer, and he has more assortment of alcoholic beverages than he does ribs and sauces, he's our kind of guy.
It's a good time, man. I'll tell you what, Jeff and Tracy and the folks over there, man, they are super, super cool. We've been fortunate enough to know them from the beginning. And, cool guys, obviously, also for y'all keeping score, Lakelanders. They'll be fun. They will definitely they'll turn out some good product, and they'll also make it one heck of a funny time.
Absolutely. Now, we're scheduled for three more events right now that are already on the schedule. Fort Myers, Bishop Perot with Don Overholzer. It's a great contest in Fort Myers. They're going to put up a big pot of money. They've got a lot of room. Bishop Perot's behind them. That's going to be a great contest. Venice, Don Fisher, we're going to do one of the episodes that is deal. You know how good that's going to be. Don's coming down to watch us. He's excited. He wants to get on board. We're going to have some good coverage on these things. Right now we're starting off with a little cash prize, somewhere between $300 and $500 to the winner and a nice trophy. By the time we get to Jimmy's contest, Jimmy, he's not going to be outdone. He's got Budweiser people, and there's going to be something cool happening at Jimmy's. It's exciting, man. And then the three others we have scheduled are Fort Myers, Bishop Perot contest, Venice, Don Fisher. You know that's going to get bigger and better every year. And Claremont, we're going to do one at Claremont. Our goal is to take on at least three more over the summer, possibly more. But what I'm trying to do right now is get eight contests so I can develop eight winners. And then we're going to have two weekends where we have semifinals where four of the winners go against each other, then the other four winners go against each other, to where we can actually have a championship. We'll have a final round and see who is who wins the battle at Barbecue Junction, who's the best cook of this whole bunch.
Absolutely. That is super cool, Dana. First off, dude, thanks for taking the initiative to get something like this done. It's not easy. It's not just talking about it. It's going out there and picking up the phone, putting feet on the streets, and making it happen. And that's not easy to do. So kudos for that, brother.
Well, I think, I love everybody in this whole organization. I go out of my way to help and do anything I can. I've been on the board for 5 years. I didn't run for the board this year. I've got a son that's wrestling. I got some things, some family thing issues that we're still going to barbecue. We're still going to do our thing, and we're still going to help the FBA any way we can. And I think this is a big step in getting the public interested and getting teams are going to have fun with this. We're going to, we need a little spice, and I think this is going to do it.
Absolutely. No, man, that's killer. That is killer. So Right now, you know, because I want to give credit to the folks that have already kind of said, hey, we're going to step up and help out. Who's some of the sponsors? You mentioned Green Eggs. Anybody else came up and said, hey, we want to be a part of this?
Fast Eddie's they're shipping me two PG500s, which is a pellet grill, which is also has a char burner on it, which is an interesting. I used one out in Vegas and played with it and cooked some of the best chicken wings I've ever cooked. They stepped up to the plate. Actually, a fellow by the name of Forrest Dillmore with Forrest Fine Foods has donated. He wants to be the sponsor for the Dutch oven part of it. He's ordered brand new Dutch ovens and he's going to get us the equipment that goes with them so that, you know, part of this thing is you're going to have, I don't know if I finished it off or not, we're going to have an appetizer, we're going to have a side dish, we're going to have a main meat. We're also going to have a dessert. So you're going to have to be creative on how to, you know, could be banana pudding, could be peach cobblers, could be, you know, something you got to use a Dutch oven on. So I heard rumor that Team Unknowns already went and borrowed some cast iron from somebody and they're practicing as we speak.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm lucky to have. I'm lucky that one of my better friends that I talk to at least once a week is a guy named Kent Rollins that when we pull up Ernest here, everybody knows from Chopped. And he's been cooking Dutch ovens for 40, 50 years. And I've learned more from that guy just talking to him about Dutch ovens than ever cooking on one. And so I've been experimenting with here in the backyard myself. You know you've got a loving wife when she lets you dig a hole in the backyard, put some coals with it and do Dutch oven cooking. But it's good and it's going to be fun for sure. And once again, it's just reaching that, you know, it gets back to Dana, live fire cooking, whether it be on the ceramic, whether it be, you know, a Dutch oven, whether it be a pellet, whether it be a stick burner, whatever the case. That's just really cool, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, all this stuff, I keep going back to the public and getting the public involved with it, and all this stuff can be done in your backyard in an hour and a half's time. You can come home and, you know, stay out of the kitchen in the house, give mom a couple nights off, and the husband or whoever do the cooking in the backyard, people are going to be able to see what you can do. A lot of people don't know much about green eggs. If you've ever cooked on a green egg, it's this whole world, man. It's one of the coolest little worlds. I've come in, fire that thing up, cook some of the best fish I've ever eaten in my life, and it takes a matter of minutes. If you've ever watched Dr. Barbecue on some of the specials he's been on, man, they're fascinating. It's a fascinating cooker. We're going to get some other cookers involved that we can, you know, that we can showcase them, and, you know, we're going to change it up, and we're going to have, you know, it's not going to be the same old routine every week. We're going to have a little twist to it and make it interesting.
Well, that's awesome, and that is super exciting. When I saw you posted on Facebook about it the other day, I was like, all right, so the discussions have come to fruition. I just think it's going to be a heck of a time, super cool. And I think you're going to have more cooks than maybe you can handle want to sign up for it.
I want to go over real quick. Anybody that wants to cook in the future contest, or I'm still looking for somebody to face off against Bones Brothers. I got several said they're, you know, everybody's got to make sure they can make it on time. It is a 2:30 on Friday gig and a 6:00 on Friday gig. And then, you know, as soon as we turn brisket in at 2:30, we go do one more quick one. So, you know, something to do for the monotony between, you know, brisket turn in and award ceremony. And then anybody that's interested in cooking it, shoot me an email. Most everybody knows my email. It's real simple. BigPapaBBQ@gmail.com. If you're interested in cooking Fort Myers, Venice, or Claremont, or some of the other ones down the line, as soon as I know which ones come on board, we're making sure the contest has plenty of room to set it up.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I can tell you a contest that wants to come on board if you'll have us. And that's our contest here in Lakeland. We'd love to host that and work to try to get a sponsor to put up the money just for that event. So
Absolutely.
If you want us, you know we'll be here. It's the April 12th and 13th here in Lakeland, you know, at the Highland Park Church. But, you know, when I say church, guys, I want y'all to realize this is me and Jared looked at it the other day. If we're fortunate enough, we could fit 70 teams pretty easily. and still have room for the judges' tent, folks to walk around, this and that. So, hey, if you'd have us part of the Barbecue Junction deal, we'd love to do that, and we'll work with the other Dana from Bartow that's our event coordinator, and we'll start getting the sponsors lined up and doing the things we got to do to make that happen.
Awesome. I'll put you on the list. We'll talk more about it next week or so. Are you going to the Triple Crown?
I am not. And kind of – actually, I had on the list to talk to you about, and you bring it up. It's like I shared this list with you, but I didn't. And me and you have talked about this offline before, and we can talk about it as little or as much as you think, but I would like to see us as an organization push to make that more of a destination event. And you know my big stick up with it is I just hate doing the open and the invitational at the same time, the same day. Did you ever see us maybe budget on that, Dana? And doing a Friday, Saturday, or a Saturday, Sunday?
I don't know. It's been a heavy, heavy topic of conversation amongst all the board guys. What they're doing right now, and I think it was a smart move, for the 2013 Triple Crown, not much is going to change. They're going to take the top 50 qualifying teams from the team of the year for the 2013 contest next December. But what we've done is we're putting a committee of teams together starting in January, 1 year in advance, to come up with creativity, sponsorship, whatever it takes to come up with a tweaked concept that's going to be exciting and make everybody happy. Here's what's happened the last year or two. You know, November rolls around, we got the Triple Crown right around the corner, and by January 1st, you got to have a decision made because the first contest of the year affects the Triple Crown throughout the rest of the year.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's always been hard to make some things happen. It's been sponsorships, we've chased, and we've had people promise money and say they're going to do things, and nobody's coming through. I don't know how much that's going to change by next year, but we've got some concepts and some things. Damon Woolley's had some great ideas, several other guys. The main thing the committee wants to do is get some teams together, maybe a Chad with Whiskey Ben or Jared or Terry McKay or Swamp Boys or Jim with Sweet Smokes. We need fresh blood in this thing to put their minds to work and come up with something really cool. And we get the right people involved with it, it's going to be the most awesome contest we could ever have. Taking a year to plan 2014 is the smartest move we ever made.
Sure. No, I completely agree. Because I think there's times where we kind of sit there and go, well, man, it's kind of too late to do anything for this year, and it falls off everybody's mind. Well, then, next thing you know, we don't talk about it again until March of the following year. So, no, I completely get it, and I support it. And hey, then you know me. I'm not one of those guys just to bitch. If I can get in there and help and throw anything around idea-wise, sweat equity-wise, whatever. I want to, and I'm just not grabbing them up to grab, but I want to make the Triple Crown an event where people go, I want to make sure I cook enough qualifying contests to be part of it, and I'm going to go and I'm going to have a hell of a time. Because that's really what we need. We need that destination event, you know?
If you've ever cooked the Triple Crown there, they put on the best blues music I've ever heard in my life. Don Taylor works as hard as anybody to put on a great contest. The facility's awesome. I mean, it's in the country. The little town supports it. Woods and Water Magazine's behind it. Anyway, you know, we've advertised and written articles in Woods and Water Magazine for 6 years talking about. We have our own page talking barbecue in Woods and Water Magazine just because they're behind the barbecue and it's part of the outdoor scene, and you know, they're local there. Perry's just a cool little town. It's just a matter of getting, we have the facility. Like I say, the committee's going to start up sometime in January. I think Damon's in charge of it. Tony and all them are working on it, and it's going to, the elections are coming up here in a few days. It's a computerized election. Everybody needs to get on that vote. I realize the president and vice president are locked because nobody's running against them. There's some interesting stuff. Everybody needs to put some thought into, who else is going to get elected? Who's going to put some time and effort into, keeping this thing up? It's we got 6 or 7 volunteers that worked their tails off. I've done it religiously for 5 years. Rope did it for 5, 6 years. Jimmy Bro worked his tail off on it when he was involved in it. It takes people that want to put time and effort into this thing, and there's several people running that deserve a vote, so everybody needs to look at that election and vote for them. And then whoever's got time or energy and wants to make things better, volunteer for some of these committees and you know, get on board with, you know, putting together the ultimate contest in next December. That'd be awesome.
No, I completely agree with you. Most definitely. We're getting a little short on time, but I'll obviously go over with you a little bit for a few. Talk to me about Vegas, man. Talk to me about the World Food Championships.
You know, we've been out to Vegas 3 years in a row. You were with us a couple times. Vegas is a good time. Right at the back of, you know, Team Unknown drove their trailer out there, hauled all that stuff for them, took my magic green cooler for me, and we all hooked up in the parking lot of Bally's. They dropped the tailgate of their trailer. My two pop-ups were right off their tailgate. I got to watch Team Unknown in action for 3 straight days. And you talking about an adventure. Vegas is Vegas, but having them boys right next to me, Matt was right across from us. Terry and Bubba was just down the lane a little bit. We had an absolute ball. I mean, you can't – I don't know if you can have as much fun as we did there. We went on Wednesday night to Fremont Street, which happened to be Halloween, and we saw sights. I hung out with Papa Clark, and we saw sights that old men ain't used to seeing. It was hilarious. I think Dorsey's writing a new song about men and lingerie. You know, I don't know. You'll hear the song here soon. We had a great time. The cook was interesting. I heard some people complain that you go to Vegas, you're on a 3-hour jet lag difference in your time to start with, and you don't ever get any sleep there, which you don't sleep much at a barbecue contest anyway. But the turn-in times were 4 and 4:30 on Friday for sauce and pork, and then Saturday, 4 and 4:30 for brisket. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It kept your mind on cooking for 2 days instead of one.
Sure, absolutely.
I enjoyed every second of it. Some people complained they didn't want to do it all one night, but I thought it was cool. It really kept you on your toes with your timing because, first of all, you're off by 3 hours, and then your turn-in times are like 3 hours later than normal. So it was you really had to watch a clock and see what was going on. You know, we cooked what I thought was pretty good stuff, and our ribs scored real well, our sauce scored real well, our pork and brisket were in the top third, and that's all it took to be right there at the top. You know, a couple more points here or there, you know, how that luck thing works, and we've been number one team. We're number two. We're happy with that. Seeing Dave with
Butcher's
Barbecue, seeing them boys win, he's with his two brothers, and them guys were elated. I don't know if you could have handpicked anybody to enjoy it any better than they did winning, being brothers and hanging out and cooking together. And they're great guys, absolutely great guys. If you're going to see somebody win it, you want it to be the good guys, man. And it sure was. These guys, they had a ball. They had an absolute ball. But Troy Black, if you're familiar with Troy and what he does in barbecue, man, he makes it something special just being involved with it. He's a class act, good guy. We were all at a little stage right behind where we all cooked at, and they called, you know, the top five in each category. There was near 100 teams, so, you know, get called in the top five was a thrill, absolute thrill. We landed a sponsor. We hooked up with some friends up there in scene. We hooked up with Lucas, and we got a call, so we were elated. I mean, it couldn't have been any better for us. You know, you go out there, and you got a new sponsor, and you hope you get a call so you can brag to your sponsor that you got a call.
Yeah.
Well, they announced, they called the top 10 in no special order, just a random order. And the top 10 included Hot Wachulas, Team Unknown, and us.
Yeah.
And you had 20 minutes to run a mile to the front Las Vegas Boulevard out by Caesar's Palace and Bill's and all that to where the main stage was so that they could call the final top 10. So that was a thrill. Everybody had to stop by the camp, get them something to drink, hustle on out to the front. We all stood together. Audrey Evans was there. She took pictures. She was part of the family, and it was – we had a ball, absolute ball. They called 10th place. They called 9th place and called Matt. And Matt, was in the top 10. That's the happiest, you know, to go out there by himself.
Sure.
And, you know, beat all these other teams. It was a thrill. They got down to fourth place called Team Unknown, and that left us, Cereal Grillers, and Butchers. And they called Cereal Grillers for third, and man, Janet had to shake so bad. I mean, when it comes to barbecue, getting your name called, oh, my goodness, it was a thrill. We got Reserve Grand on that stage. Vegas has been good to us, man. We go out
there.
And, we're humble. Do we deserve that? Are we any better than anybody else out there? No, we're just luckier.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. There's something about now. Do you, without giving any secrets, Dana, do you change your rib program at all when you go out there from here to there?
Yeah, I don't know if you concentrate harder. Do I change my? I don't know. I think it's in concentration more than anything. I still use the same ropes. I still use the same sauces. Ribs are tough because you cook ribs and you think, you know, when I won best ribs in America out there in Vegas a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Came back and cooked Zephyr Hills and took 26th place in ribs.
Yeah.
So you're best in the world, 200 teams in Vegas, and you come back and you can't beat 25 teams in Florida. So it makes you wonder. But, you know, if we cook a special rib that we really like, and if it's cooked right and wrapped right and smothered in the right stuff and treated right, and, you know, they come up. We've done well in ribs over the years, and for some reason, Vegas, whoever the judging pool is out in Vegas, likes our ribs.
They love your ribs.
Times. We've had a first, a tenth, and a third. I mean, that's about as consistent as you can get.
Yeah, they definitely love your ribs, brother.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Vegas was an absolute great time. Hanging with Team Unknown. Team Unknown's one of the friendliest teams out there. They fed homeless people. They brought homeless people in off the street and fed them and kept them warm all night. And I tell you what, it was an adventure.
That's what they do, man. That's just what Unknown does. They're good. They're damn good folks. The how about the contest itself? What were you impressed with? Because I've heard, you know, obviously I wasn't out there, but I've heard different things of some people thought it was great. Some people were kind of upset about the charge, kind of the unknowns and the charging for this, but really not if you didn't buy tickets in advance of time. I mean, what was your take on it, Dana?
Man, I was out there to barbecue. Did we buy, you know, if you studied into this World Food Championship, what they're doing is a great thing. The guys that run it, the information they tried to, Janet pestered the daylights out of them, and they answered everything she ever asked. So as far as, you know, it was a new concept for them. You know, they didn't just have 100 barbecue teams. They had hamburger teams, and they had sandwich teams, and they had all these different categories, you know, 5 or 6 times more people than what we normally have at a barbecue contest. All in all, I think they did an excellent job. The parking lot was nasty, dirty, gravel, but, you know, typical parking lot of Vegas, just like the Orleans. Well, the Orleans was cleaner, I do believe. The people from the World Food Deal were promised that it would all be cleaned up, and they, you know, we all got brooms and we swept it up ourselves and we made it livable. We made it nice. You know, barbecue people are going to go barbecue. Whether the top-notch chefs were happy, I don't really particularly care if they were happy.
Right.
I love our barbecue people. Let me tell you something. Adam Richmond came by and hung out with us and was the most decent, fun guy you could ever meet. He stayed there with us 20 minutes, half hour. His guy kept telling him he had to leave. And he says, you know, barbecue people is where it's at. I don't want the wrong people hearing what he said to us, but he said, you know, these chefs and all these, you know, hotshot guys, they can have what they do. He says, barbecue is where it's at. You know, being down to earth with the guys that are out here cooking, doing what we do. He said, that's what he loves. And, you know, he went over and hung out with Team Unknown right after he left us. He didn't want to leave us. He wanted to hang out with us. He was cool. He was cool as could be. He got up at a VIP party and spoke and was one of the most, just elegant to listen to speak, just intelligent and fun-loving. I was impressed with the guy. I really was. You know, he's got parents that live in Miami that are going to come over and eat barbecue with us at the church. So, I mean, it's... couldn't be better. Couldn't be hosted by a better guy.
Well, that's killer, man. I'm really glad to hear that. That's super awesome, brother. So most definitely.
These guys got money behind them. They've got great people in charge. They try to get the answers out. You know, you try to please 100 barbecue teams. You know, that's hard to do. But please 100 barbecue teams and 100 sandwich teams and 100 burger teams and all that, man, they had their hands full. I think they did an awesome job. If we get a chance, I heard rumor they may invite back, you know, Reserve Grand or the top five. We're trying to talk them into calling back the top 10 to automatically be invited for next year.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, three of us Florida boys get to go back.
That's awesome. No, and it's cool that the event went that well, and they're already talking about next year. That's really, really good.
I'm just bummed out that the sandwich guy that won the whole thing cooked the pork sandwich to win.
Yeah, that was kind of that is kind of crazy. But you know, hey, it happens.
Well, this is another thing. I think our little throwdown situation we're doing is going to help prepare people for going out there. I think it was an unfair advantage to a barbecue team to cook some ribs and put them in a turn-in box and cook brisket and put them in a turn-in box, where these sandwich guys are using flair and technique and side dishes and all these, you know, onions and avocados and all this stuff. And, you know, here we're turning in brisket with some parsley under it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the barbecue boys will learn how to step it up one notch next year, and everybody else is going to have to look out, because we all know barbecue's the best.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you, Dana. Well, brother, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight, man. It's been a blast. We're going to continue to talk about this Barbecue Junction thing in the weeks to come. And on the way out, is there anything you want to hit?
Oh, my son was supposed to have a baby today, and they postponed it till Friday. I didn't know that, you know, I thought women went in and had babies. I'm not used to this new, I guess I'm old, baby by appointment. But some issues came up at the hospital, and now they bumped her back to Friday, and I'm supposed to be in Perry cooking. I ain't sure what's going to happen this weekend, man. I'm trying to get her to hold off till Monday, because I'm looking forward to this grandbaby being born. And I sent her a text yesterday and asked how old does he actually got to be before he can eat his first rib.
Well, man, that's awesome, and congratulations. Once again, man, good job on 2012 Team of the Year. And, Dane, I'm sure it won't be too long, but we'll talk to you here again in the pit soon.
Hey, I'm there whenever you need me. I can sure sit here and talk with you about barbecue forever. You know that.
We know that, brother. Hey, we've done it plenty of times. All right, Dane.
Is everybody excited about, you know, if anybody wants to send in and sign up and is interested in throwing down against some of the other teams, we'll see who the best cook, best all-around cook is out of this whole bunch. It's going to be fun.
Excellent, man. BigPapaBBQ@gmail.com. You guys send Dana a note. He'll keep your name on file. And when you're going to be there and he's got an opening, he'll reach out to you. Hey, we're looking forward to it, man. Can't wait for Jim McCoins.
It's going to be fun. Chad, thanks for everything you do, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks, Dana. All right, guys. Dana Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, 2012 Florida Barbecue Team of the Year. Reserve Grand Champion on the barbecue side of the World Food Championships, and all-around good guy trying to spur some new things up with his Barbecue Junction thing, which is pretty damn cool. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it, and it sounds like we're signed up. I just got to figure out how to tell Jared now, make sure we get down there in time and ready to roll. All right, one thing I want to hit on before we go into Ernest Cervantes is little something we used this weekend with our Reserve Grand Championship at the When Pigs Fly South barbecue fly-in was Danny Kugel's online barbecue cooking class, PitBullsBarbecueSchool.com. PitBullsBarbecueSchool.com right there. Danny's got a heck of a deal for you. You go on there, you check it out. Really, really reasonable rates. He's going to walk you through all the competition meats, even some other meats on there for you GBA guys. He's got pork loin, some different things. You're going to watch video. How do you trim it? How do you inject it? How do you marinate it? All those different things. And the thing I like about the video class is that you can go back and reference it. It's yours. If you want to go back and say, man, maybe I'm missing something here, you can go back, break things down. You've got timelines, you've got schedules, you've got recipes, the whole nine yards. Denny's done a great job. So if you're that cook, you're looking for a little bit more edge, looking to get back on your game, you're looking for something a little bit different to take you over the top, go over there, pitbullsbbqschool.com. Check it out. Tell Denny we sent you. And I sign up for that thing. I will tell you right now, you won't regret it. So with that being said, we are going over to my muchacho, Ernie Cervantes. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, amigo?
Dude, hey, I love this. I think me and you have talked on the phone once since the last time I had you on the air. I like keeping it like that, man.
Yeah, man, it's been kind of crazy. My life has been turned upside down since the show, but it's a good thing. You know, I've been blessed, and I thank God for all the blessings he's given me since the show, and one of them includes you being a good friend of mine.
Hey, so, man, thank you, bro. Dude, I'm blushing right here. I'm blushing. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know how cool it looks when us big guys blush. It's a pretty sexy thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Last time we had you on was the Tuesday night after you've been crowned, Chop Grill Master Champion. Well, you know, obviously, you know, and we'll talk more about the $50,000 and what you did with it and the new pimp-ass murdered-out barbecue trailer you got, which is killer. We'll talk about that later. But talk about so what happens after that? I mean, do you start you did one article that I believe was with it was good, like an MSNBC, but it was his face, and it was one of the best, coolest articles I'd ever read. Did you start getting a lot of those media inquiries, Ernest?
You know, right off the bat, when I won the show, you know, I just got, you know, flooded in with so many people that were inspired by not only, I guess, the show, but what inspired them more than anything else was and I get this all the time. They said they couldn't have had a better showdown than two great, humble guys.
Yeah.
The real average Joe kind of guys, you know, we're not these cocky, you know, chefs. And, you know, me being in the culinary industry, I deal with that a lot. A lot of guys with, you know, fool themselves and all that good stuff. You know, Kenton was probably one of the coolest guys I ever met beside yourself on the show. Real down to earth. So, you know, everybody was intrigued. They kind of felt like they knew you.
Yep.
So, you know, I did tons of interviews and lots of newspapers, but I think that was one of the pinnacles of my success on that show was to be, you know, interviewed by NBC Latino, which was probably one of my proudest crowning achievements. So that was pretty cool. Great article, and, you know, I just had a good time with them. So it's been a whirlwind, my friend.
Well, you know, and I heard from numerous people when you and the one thing that the Food Network, and I mean, this ain't their first rodeo, man. Chop's been around a while. They do a great job with character development.
Right.
And to hear your story about being raised the way you were, being taught by your family how to cook, Kent has a very similar story, but how different can you get? A late 40s, early 50s, tall, thin Dutch oven cook and a 30s, you know, Hispanic-based, cooking from his heart, you know, executive chef. You know what I mean? You would think if you guys hadn't turned out so much good food, you would say, God dang, anybody would want this. This is perfect. You know, this is just perfect TV. But I think what people realized was watching you guys go through the dishes it took to get there, it was the right two guys.
Yeah. Well, appreciate that. That's really cool. Thank you for saying that. You know, on that show, I really wanted to emphasize paying tribute to the people who got me to that point in my life. And that's considering my Hispanic culture, my family, my hometown of Uvalde, New Braunfels, all those people that saw me grow and helped me become the guy I am today. It was a total tribute to you guys saying, hey, look, man, we did it. And we're here, and no matter what happens, we've already been successful because we even got called to this show. You know, we're the small town USA guys.
Yeah.
So it was one of those type of things that I'm telling you, it touched my hometown and my family like you wouldn't believe.
It was really cool to see my hometown so proud of me, and it was awesome. It was awesome, and I wouldn't take it, for any other way, man. It was awesome.
No, and so you know, what's some of the other things that come out of it? So you obviously have the interviews and this and that. You know, for folks that maybe didn't listen to us with Ernest the first time, I say executive chef. You tell me if you're wrong, but Texas Lutheran University. You're the executive chef. You feed the president's family. You do all the high end deals. All the donors. That come in for big high deals. That's what you do, along with overseeing the food that you guys put out for the students. So
exactly.
That's the day job.
That's my day job, man. That's my nine to. Well, I don't have necessarily 9 to 5, but that's what I do most of the time. And what I do to blow off steam is barbecue, man. I do the competition.
Absolutely.
And I do that. And I love it, and I think I fell in love with it. And what makes it awesome, too, is I cook against a bunch of guys that I would love to hang out with every day.
Yeah.
Those are my barbecue brothers. And what made it cool about the show was after the show, those guys treated me like good old Ernie, because that's the way I am. I'm not this guy with – this chip on his shoulder. A lot of people get the big heads. I went back to, cooking. My brothers treated me the same way, and it was just good old Ernie. And that's what I loved about the guys. Because at the end of the day, that's what I love to do. I love to blow off steam, hang out with my boys, Robert Sierra, Rick Rodriguez, the guys from down south like Monty Brown and Lenny and everybody in between, Darwin, Craig Scher, whenever he comes down. Those are the guys that, we always chat on Facebook or any kind of groups. And, the opportunities to cook against them, come around, we all go sit down and, shoot and see what's going on. And, that's what I love. That's the best de-stressing thing you can do, man.
Absolutely. So when we talk about competition barbecue, a little bit, and Craig Sherry, it's been a while. Craig kind of tried to break down the Texas scene for us a little bit. But it's probably been a year and a half, so... I think it'd be good to also get your take on it, Ernie. Is obviously you guys have some KCBS contests here and there within Texas,
right.
but you also
right.
have your own sanctioning bodies. Can you briefly
right.
talk about each of those sanctioning bodies and what kind of things differ between them?
I think now don't quote me on this, but I could swear that KCBS is number one with the most members, and I think IBCA is the next
yep.
the next biggest circuit, and that's Texas right there. And in between the IBCA, you got a couple of small ones like Texas Gulf Coast. We got Central Texas, and then we have Lone Star Barbecue Society. I would consider Lone Star Barbecue Society the second biggest in Texas, and then it kind of trickles down to Texas Gulf, and then Central Texas. I think they only have about maybe 10 cooks all the year. But, we're a little bit different in Texas. We don't put any greenery in our food. I don't know if it's just a machismo thing or just a Texas pride. We want to eat what we see in front of us. We don't want some greenery around it. So, we do the brisket thing. We do brisket, and we don't sauce our brisket. And I don't know that many cooks down here that sauce our brisket. We might glaze it with a little au jus or, just try to get that glistening, but we don't really sauce it. Our ribs, seven cut ribs, we mostly use, St. Louis, just like y'all. So I think those are the two similarities that KCBS and anybody else, I guess, your area too, have, seven slices. But we do one thing that's really different. We do have chickens. Y'all turn in thighs or one certain style.
Yeah, yeah.
Beef. We do the whole kit and caboodle, which is it's a challenge. You got to have the bite-through skin. You got to have that chicken breast moist. But at the same time, you got to have the leg and the thigh tender enough and cooked enough that it's still moist. So that's a challenge in itself to get all of that perfect storm into one chicken and to a half. If it's bigger than a contest, you turn into two half birds. But, that's a challenge. And to get it to that point, it's taken me, I think, 4 years to finally perfect. I think I can honestly say this year was the first year I've been successful in my chicken. And what I mean by successful, at least hitting a couple of top threes.
Well,
so,
so let's go back and kind of talk about each of the categories. Let's start with brisket. Something near and dear to my heart. Love it.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The and I like the I don't know. I just, it's just the meat that I think just defines barbecue cooks. It's a tough cut of meat. You know, takes a lot of pride and loving and care, et cetera. But obviously, a Texas brisket's different than your normal run of the mill brisket.
Right.
Would you say, and obviously you're running your ribs, and you know, unless you have a pit dedicated to brisket, I know you guys are big on mesquite down there. Would you say that that's the prominent wood that you guys cook brisket over, or is it maybe just a? And I'll tell you, when I say that, my deal when I cook brisket is I'm about a 65% sweet wood guy and about a 35% oak or hickory guy. I like that because the color and the little bit deeper tones, but
right.
I like the apple, cherry, maple because it just gives it that other thing. I probably think my brisket would get its ass whipped where you guys come from. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I hate to say it, but we'd probably take you to school. You know,
right.
if we want to go the purity and the true way of how Texas brisket is, you know, I know, you know, those Iowa boys out there are just really kicking some butt in that brisket.
Yeah.
You know, you got the guys from Oklahoma, you know, that just won the world championships out there, Dave. You know, he cooks a great brisket. But if you want to go back to where the brisket all came from, you know, Texas, Central Texas, we eat nothing but post oak. And the thing is, that's how they used it. And I guess it's kind of like, you know, gray bean raised with grandma's apple pie. You know, your grandma set the standard. Now, when you got married and you moved away a couple of states, your wife tried to make
yeah.
grandma's apple pies, but she
right,
just
right,
used
right.
what was regional. You know, the apples that are, you know, in that state, you know, the different kinds of recipes. So even though it's the base is there, it's always different. And I think that's what happened with, you know, Texas brisket. You know, Texas brisket starts off with a post oak traditionally. Now, Texas is huge. You know, you go down south, they love that mesquite. I go to my hometown, and I give my dad a half a quart of post oak. He won't even touch it. He is true to mesquite.
Okay,
you know,
now define post oak for me.
You know, post oak is post oak is a hard wood found in Central Texas, man. What we like to do is we use that because that's what's indigenous to this area. It's a hard wood. It burns clean, and burns hot, and it
hot,
burns
yeah.
long. You know.
Well, let me ask you about this. I mean, you cooked on what I guess us Southern folks just call oak. Have you noticed any? I mean, and maybe I'm assuming. Maybe in your travels you haven't had a chance just to taste a regular oak product. But would you say there's a difference between the oak trees that, you know, I've got on my family's 100 acres to compared to post oak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just different kinds of post oak out there, man. You know, you get into your white oaks and your red oaks and your California oaks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they all have, it's kind of like me saying, I can put it like this, you know, I got a bunch of Mexican cousins all over the state of Texas and other places in the United States, you know what I mean? But we're all different, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just one day when you come down and visit me, I'm gonna take you to some Central Texas barbecue. Or if I get to meet you, I'm gonna send you maybe a half quart out there. And this is not the stuff that you buy at the stores. This is the true season post oak out of your, you know, my uncle's ranch. That's not been treated with any chemicals. It's not been off some golf course, straight out of the ranch. And you'd be amazed on how it is. The flavor, just, you know, you put that oak in your pit and you have nothing in your pit and you get that thing smoking, people want to know what you're cooking because it just smells great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing is what I like about it, and you said it a little bit earlier, is we cook on it because it's indigenous to our land. Mm-hmm. And really, if we go all the way back, Ernest, before we were all building insulated cookers and traveling around in trailers and doing that. What was barbecue? Barbecue was the cheapest, most efficient way to preserve perishable
exactly.
products.
Exactly.
You know, and that's cool to hear that's the root of why that's you guys is kind of bread and butter, if you will.
Right.
So,
yep.
All right, so on brisket, You know, and hey, if I ask a question that you don't feel comfortable with, or I'm going to give up a trade secret, let me know and just say Chad pass.
Yeah.
Injection wise, well, first off, let's talk about the cut of meat. Are you using a CAB, a prime, a Wagyu? What's kind of been where you've had your most success?
What I use, and I'll let y'all know my little secret here, is what I use is it's a prime.
Creekstone.
That's right, baby. Creekstone Farms.
Yeah.
Creekstone Farms, you know, those guys out of, you know, Arkansas City, Kansas, you know, Alfonso Terrazas, he's my boy out there. And, man, I've been hitting, and I hit hard.
And I don't know if they still do it, Ernie, but I remember where they had a deal. You could get like a 14 to 18 pound prime brisket to your door for $80. I don't know. Is that still the deal, or was that like a one-time thing that I'm? It's over.
I don't know. I get them to my door, but for a brother price, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I can actually ask on that. Maybe we can throw a special out there to y'all's listeners. I'm telling you, you know, I use injections. You know, I use. I'm a Butcher's fan. I've been a Butcher's fan since day one. You know, Dave has a great product out there, and I swear by it. You know, I've won a lot of state championship brisket titles with that bad boy, and I'm proud to say that I use that. But when I started using Creekstones, I don't need to use so much of it.
Yeah. No. Now the one thing I've noticed about those is if you're gonna cook them, I like to get them in about 2, 3, 4 weeks early.
Yes.
And I 45
days.
Yeah, and I like to get a little age on them, get them softened up a little bit. I cooked two of them in Vegas, and they were a little and hey, I appreciate Creekstone. You know, Dr. Barbecue said, hey, I got two guys out of Florida that if you want to, you know, sponsor some meat to some dudes to try out, go ahead. And they you know, sent us two. I mean, cherry picked briskets, beautiful briskets, but they were just a little firm for me. You know what? I'm gonna give these guys another chance. I brought some in, and I learned that about most of the prime briskets, because on that Creekstone, I got it. I let it age about 45 days, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And man, salt. I mean, you take that brisket out of the package, put it in the palm of your hand, and it just bends over both sides. And
yeah.
I learned that too about when I first started. I got a meat sponsor here in Tampa. And he said, you got to try this Myers Prime. You got to try this Myers Prime. And so I took it, and not learning what I did with Creekstone, I went and I just ran it right out of the package. And I said, is it good brisket? Yeah, man. It's real. To the layman, Ernie, awesome brisket. But me and you were sitting there going, man, that ain't going to get you in the top five. There's something missing. And so then I take those briskets that he gave me, aged them 50 days, put them on the cooker, and I say, you know what, man? Why the heck am I paying this money for these Wagyus?
Exactly.
You know, these primes, if you plan your stuff out, and to me, that's what the Wagyu does. The Wagyu is the Monday morning, holy shit, I don't have a brisket ready for this weekend. Or,
and you're on the fly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can go buy that Wagyu, pay two times more for it, but you've got that security of, I didn't have to age it, I didn't have to do this, I didn't have to do that. If you plan your contest out right, you can go get a Myers or a Creekstone, one of those top quality briskets, age it out, and what I like to do is about once a week, man, I got to peek that fridge on it. You know, I got to open that dedicated brisket, you know, aging fridge and look at it and go, she's coming along nice. Maybe pick her up, feel her a little bit. Well, you know, watch how it goes from week to week. And when you kind of look at that And I'm going to tell myself, and you guys are probably going to call me anal retentive, I've got a little composition book in there by my brisket aging fridge. And I keep notes on them, and they all got numbers.
Oh, yeah. That's how I do mine.
You know, hey, here's number one. Here's the date it came in on. Checked on it, you know, a week later. Coming along nice, or it's still a little bit firm. You know, blah, blah. Because the other thing I found is you have hot spots in your cooker. You've got cold spots in your fridge.
Exactly.
So, I know, that probably seems like we're being way too anal retentive, but it's just those small those small things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, so you're starting with that nice, fine piece of Creekstone prime brisket. And then, like you said, you realize when you're starting out with something that moist, with that much marbling, that you don't have to push the injection to the limits like you do on maybe a CAB or a Choice.
Right, you know, you got that beef flavor just like eating a great steak. It's got that true beef flavor. So the first time, let's just put it this way, the first time I used to use on my usual cabs that were aged, I had my own formula. Anyway, and I put that into my Creekstone, and it was too rich. It's just like having a cheesecake at a Cheesecake Factory, and you only can have one bite. It was just that rich. I knew it wouldn't fly, so I didn't do too hot. But so I tweaked it the second time, and I got first place. So it doesn't need that much, but it helps, you know. And you know that it's, you know, it's corn fed. You know, I know what they're using. You know, it's a lot of great, you know, marbling in that darn thing. It's like butter. It's like butter, and yeah. you keep it simple, man. And the difference, I guess, and maybe I might be wrong on this, and I don't know if y'all agree, but there's a difference between a corn fed brisket and a grass fed brisket.
Oh,
you know, grass fed. You know, yes. I think you know, the grass fed, you really feel more of the garlicky flavor, what they've eaten, compared to, you know, a good corn fed. You know, they're fed to get fat, and I just like that flavor, man.
No, Ernie, I'll be the first one to go on the record right here. Whiskey and Barbecue in the Pit, December 4th, around 7:30 Central Time, for my friend that's on the show with me. That grass-fed brisket will never, ever, ever have that butter taste that you were talking about. Yeah. It just the diet doesn't make it happen. Now, hey,
right.
does it sound cool when you're talking to all your friends at yoga? I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't made one of those sessions. I'm pretty sure you haven't made one of those sessions. So, hey, me and you were at Fat Camp talking about how damn good that corn-fed brisket was the day before. And, I'm fine with that, my friend.
Yeah, I think the last time you and I were in front of a yoga class was we were drinking a tall boy beer eating some pork rinds in front of them. That's the last time we were at a yoga class. You know, you won't see this fat guy over there, man. But you know, exactly. And not only that, when you cook a grass fed brisket, I don't know about you, but it turns gray.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me but that's one thing off the bat I noticed right off the bat. And I could be wrong, but these are my experiences with that, and you know, I keep it like that. So corn fed Creekstone Farms briskets, it's where I go, and you know, I put my name on that stuff, man.
No, that's super cool. And you know, and that's one of the things, too, that's got to be challenging. I don't want to get off topic. But, you know,
right.
with you, I know you're flying a lot and going and doing a lot of these different events and this and that. That's got to be something, because your name's going on that final dish, Ernest. And if they say, hey, I'm going to have brisket there for you, you've got to be asking all the questions about, well, what brand is it? How's it fed? This and that.
Right.
Because, honestly, you're probably showing up and you've got what? You know, 7-8 hours to maybe prep, get things ready. Then you've got to cook. You know, you're on a tight timeline. It's not like when you're at your restaurant or you're at your cafe and you can make it happen. So you probably find yourself asking, you're probably a little more educated now than you were, let's say, May, about all the questions to ask to make sure when you fly in somewhere for an event or, you know, a charity thing or whatever, that it's right.
Oh, yeah. I have that. I've traveled all over the United States in the past, let's just say, since the show. I've dealt with, you know, Packers. I've dealt with cabs. I've dealt with just, the flats. And I've even dealt with, I was in New York, upstate New York, and what was it called? When it's already pickled. You know, I was like, corned beef.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what is this? They're like, that's brisket. I'm like, look, listen. I know y'all from New York, and I love y'all guys to death, but, you know, this is not what we do here in Texas. And they wanted me to make something with it. I said, are we going to make pastrami sandwiches, or are we going to make corned beef and hash? Because we're not making – I'm not going to put anything that says Texas brisket and barbecue sauce on this with my name on it, you know. So, we ended up changing the menu. But, yeah, that's the challenges I've been dealing with, you know, going all over the United States. Been from, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Louisiana, Texas, in New York. Everywhere is just a different set of challenges when I go out there, you know.
So I totally understand that. So getting back to the compensation side of it, so you guys just turned in 7 brisket slices. So
yes.
So no burn-ins.
No burn-ins. We can't trim that brisket either, man. You got to remember, that's called a marked tray. You know, I know I see that now. I've never been at KCBS, so I've only seen this, from, YouTube or whatever. I see, once you trim your briskets, you can trim the corners, maybe take a little bit of fat off there and put it on there real nicely. You can't, once you cut that brisket, when it's cooked, you cannot touch it. You have to put it just like how it is in the bag.
Okay.
If it's big, you got to wrap it around.
So let me ask you this. Can I trim the brisket pre-cooked?
Yes, you can trim it raw all you want, and that's how, what I do, so it can fit exactly, you kind of factor in, how it's going to look when it's cooked.
Yeah, you know that 9.5 inches wide is going to go to 7 inches wide.
Exactly.
And seven inches wide is kind of where I want my box to. Oh, but because I'll tell you what, when we first started cooking brisket, we turned in the natural slice in KCBS or FBA. And now we do something that you wouldn't be allowed to do in IBCA, and that's I like to get those corners off, man. I mean, Jared's kind of our master of making everything look beautiful. And he's like, man, if those things just look nice and straight and uniform like this, it's awesome. And
right.
We've had great results with it, but obviously it would be something that you guys would say, no, can't do that. gotta be legit.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I guess, those are our challenges. One thing I really wish that we could utilize more in Texas is the whole pulled pork scene.
Yeah.
First of all, I love to cook pulled pork, but we only have a handful of cook-offs that include pulled pork, for the money muscle and all that good stuff. So, or just pulling it, I just would like to just include the pork butt into another, category.
I'll tell you what, Ernest, if you think that you've got a killer competition pulled pork program, why don't we do this? That's my shittiest category. So because you can't cook it, why don't me and you do an information transfer, obviously off air,
right,
at some point in time, and I'll tell you how your program will run in KCBS and FBA. Sound like a deal?
Yeah, sounds great to me, brother.
Dude, that is one of those, man, and people get sick of hearing me say it. I'm like, damn it, pork is pork. I try to put some moisture in it. I try to put a little bit of flavor in it. But at the end of the day, I get frustrated and say, well, damn it, I think it just comes down to being a sauce contest. And that's maybe the more just begrudging part of me, because that's been the one, man, there's times, me and Jared were talking about this the other day. We can look at our barbecue career and go, man, there was 7, 8, 10 contests here wearing chicken, we were never out of the top 5. There's
right.
7, 8, 10 contests wearing brisket, we were never out of the top 5 or top 10. Ribs, we've had really, really good hot streaks. Pork, we're like, well, that one time we kind of stumbled on it right and we won a first place pork. And and then the next week turned around and got 27th. So, I mean, it's weird like that, but that's the way it is. But yeah, dude, any pork tips you got? I'll talk to you offline over the next couple of days and take whatever wisdom you have to impart on me. And I'll tell you what, the one thing that has helped is we started, from our sponsor, we started using a lot of Duroc pork. And I'll tell you what, that's the one thing I've noticed with Duroc pork over Sam's Club Restaurant Depot pork is you don't want to over-inject it, because it gets back to that thing that you talked about when you went to Creekstone. Is if you over-inject, it can just come off as, oh, my gosh, this is super, super heavy. You know what I mean?
Right. Robert uses those pulled pork, the butts from Compart. And, yeah. I've gotten a couple of packages myself, and those are some of the best. When I do use them on a competition, I do place very well. And it's just the marbling of those things is just amazing. If you touch it before you even inject the darn thing, right when you have it on front of your thing,
yeah,
and it's getting to the point where it's getting to room temperature, it's just, if you just feel the fat on there, it's, I don't know, pork fat rules. And,
yeah.
And it's one of those that it's just like, wow,
Well, and you just brought up a thing that I totally agree with. And I believe based on your comment, you totally agree with, is any of my comp meats like that, If I get a chance, I love to see them come up to room temperature before I put them on that cooker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Oh yeah, you just gotta do that.
I just like to see that brisket with that seasoning all melted into it. Just kind of got that little bit of slurry, you know. And you're sitting there going, man, when I put some heat to this thing, and a little, you know, and a little bit of humidity, it's just gonna get me that bark I want, you know. And that's one of those things, man. That guys all the time are like, well, you know, hey, man, my ribs. Man, I like those things to be sweated up from here to there. I just like them to have that look to them. Hey, I'm ready to do business, brother.
Yeah, pork, so, you know, I love me some pork sweat, you know what I mean? And yeah, not only that, when that pork sweat, it absorbs more of your – it absorbs and it breaks down your seasoning a lot quicker, which transforms into kind of its own – I guess I call it its own wet rub that creates a great bark.
Green bark,
and absolutely. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, some people just, you know, they season up there, or they inject it the night before, they season it up, and then they take it out of that Ziploc bag and throw it straight on the pit, and then they wonder why when they flip it, everything sticks to it or nothing's staying on there.
Yeah.
Or why is it so tight, or why did it shrink so much? You know, even the shrinkage from your meat is created, you know, so many, it's a science. And you can, yes, you know, you would be amazed if you put it in room temperature, how different your meat would come out.
And the big thing there is, I mean, we're talking shrinkage, and we're men. We never want too much shrinkage.
Never too much shrinkage, exactly.
But no, I kind of take it as I want it all to be one together. I want the rub to be one with the meat. If I put kind of a slather on there, I want it to be one with the meat. I kind of want to see it all working together before I go and put it to that fire. And plus, if you're cooking like, you know, I am and you are on, you know, nice insulated pits, mm-hmm, you're going to get that humidity and that steam you need to know that it's going to get that nice adhesion and give you that bark you want. So going back to the brisket for a second, and we kept getting off on tangents, and that's just what we do here, Ernie. You're keeping up with me, so... Hey, we're good, and I think the listeners are keeping up with us. Rub-wise, are you kind of one of those guys that keeps it super simple, maybe a little salt, pepper, garlic, maybe a pop or two of Chipotle, or are you a guy that's got a real intrinsic, deep beef rub for that brisket?
Man, I guess to tell you the truth, I'll tell everybody – on air what I use, and a lot of people be like, yeah, right. And, you know, this is what I've seen, and this is my culinary expertise, I could say. Fresh pepper. You got to have a fresh ground pepper. You know, a number 16, a number 15 would be great. Great sea salt. And then it gets into your complications, like a cayenne pepper. I like that. Those three, that's all I use on my brisket.
All right, so let's break that back down. A fresh cracked pepper. So you're taking, and once again, I'm going to sound ignorant here because I'm not the executive chef. You are. Are you, like, I'm thinking about the Olive Garden where, do you want pepper? You're taking a grinder and grinding it right on your brisket?
No, what I like to use, I use a coffee grinder.
Okay. So you're taking a number 16 or number 17 peppercorn, black peppercorn.
Yep.
And you're grinding it right there.
Now, if not, the night before.
Now, on your sea salt, are you – because you just brought up a great point. We have two coffee grinders on the trailer because if the first one breaks, I need a second one.
Right.
So there's very few things that any of us carry two on a trailer. So that'll tell you right there. I even feel like on my rubs, if I've got a pre-mixed rub –
uh-huh.
I like to put it in that coffee grinder for just one or two revolutions.
I call it to reactivate it.
It wakes it up. It breaks it up.
Exactly.
It gets those.
And it reactivates it.
It gets those flavors and those smells going quick.
That's the primary reason I do it.
On your sea salt, do you do that, or do you go with the sea salt right
I pulse it. I kind of pulse it, and the reason why I use that with the black peppers, it releases those oils that make pepper. When you taste brisket or when you taste that, you're actually tasting pepper. Pepper, salt, and little cayenne pepper are the only things that that you actually can taste in your bark, technically, if you do a 14-hour brisket. Everything else gets lost in the chaos and lost in the smoke. You know, in my opinion, when you use a lot of earth tones like thyme, sugars, cominos, you know, union, garlic powder, onion powder, if you, unless you're some kind of person that has a super sensitive palate, you really don't taste that when you eat your brisket.
Yeah.
If you really look at it, if you really want to get down to the, you know, the skinny here, you can't taste that when you bite it into your bark. And that's why people dress, you know, the beef flavor, or they kind of dress it with barbecue sauce, because at the end of the day, that, and then they, you know, use a powder form and re-enterize the, no, you really don't taste it. You know, what can you taste? You taste the salt. You taste
right.
the pepper. You know, that you taste the heat from the cayenne. You can taste that still in the bark. You know, so, you know, even though, you know, we all say.
Ernie, quick question before we go too deep.
Yeah.
Do you have a hard stop at 9 o'clock?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a hard stop at 9 o'clock?
No, I don't have a hard stop.
All right, so 9:15, 9:30 won't get me in trouble with,
yeah.
with the wife?
No, that's fine. Yeah, we can
okay.
talk until the cows come home.
Hey, guys, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. With 15 minutes notice, me and Ernest are going to run late. We're going to, at 9 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio is going to cut us off. If you go to iTunes or if you come back to Blog Talk the next day, you can advance to that two-hour mark and listen to the end of the show, kind of what we call after hours. But we're kind of getting into details. I'm enjoying it. I think Ernest is enjoying it. And we're going to run a little bit late. So there's your public service announcement. At 9 o'clock, we're still probably going to be talking about coffee grinders, fresh spices, that kind of thing. So let's go on. So you talked about the garlic component also. What are you doing for that, Ernest? Are you? I mean, I can't think you're buying a McCormick garlic powder.
No. What I like to do is, when you deal with beef, you got to have certain flavors. You got to have that garlic flavor. You got to have that onion flavor. I add that to my jus, man. You know, when you finish cooking your brisket, you know how everybody kind of painted for the glistening. I add my garlic to that. Then you can taste it in your cooked brisket. You know, so that's where you want that. The beef needs the brisket. You know, the meat, the beef needs that garlic flavor. It needs those earth tones that taste like beef, and that's where I add it to. I guess you call it your finishing sauce. I don't know what.
Yeah.
So I call it my au jus.
So when you talk about your au jus, so I would say, and here's what we do down here, or what I do. I cook in a pan, and I got a feeling that's just very un-Texan.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I cook in a pan.
Yeah,
we don't. I honestly let mine rest in a pan, so I can't call you out on that technically, because once my brisket's done, which about 95% of it's you know, on the grate. Other than that, when I rest it, I put it in a pan, put it in foil, and just let it sleep.
And that's where you get your au jus.
Yeah, it starts breaking down that beef flavor. What I like to do honestly is I like to get all the cut ends that, you know, when you're trimming your brisket, I like to throw them in the smoker before, you know, that night before, cook them up, then wrap them up in foil and let them reduce and get all that juice out of them. And then I pour that in a saucepan with some onions and garlic and then your sauce. And that's, that's a good paint. That's what I use to paint my brisket before they come in. So it gets that real deep beef flavor that you'd like.
So let's talk about that for a second. So you're taking those trimmings off that really rich beef.
Right.
And you're throwing them on the cooker the night before, right on the cooker, or just in foil and kind of collecting all that?
And that pan, like how you say a little aluminum pan?
Yeah.
Let it collect, man. I like to let it collect, and it starts making its own juice. You know, you put the water in it so you can make a stock.
You may add some water. You may actually get the fat off of it once or twice, maybe.
Right.
And what I
like to do is once it's cooked all the way and I got enough juice, I put that in the ice chest and let it cool down and skim off that fat on top. So then you just reheat it up, all the gelatin and all that good stuff, man. I'd like to rub that all over my body, man.
Dude, that's why you're a chop grill master right there. That is actually, there's not many times that I take notes on a show. Note taken.
Sweet.
Oh yeah, that is That is a, guys, if y'all, and we always do, that's a huge secret right there. Because sometimes you have this point of, I've had before, usually with Wagyus. I usually cook a Wagyu and then like a kind of the backup CAB that's like, holy shit, the Wagyu didn't turn out. Or the prime didn't turn out and I got this CAB.
Uh-huh.
And the CAB I can always count on for au jus because it's not going to be too rich.
Right.
Because there's been times that I come off of a really solid prime or a really solid Wagyu and I'm like, man, I've fat separated the hell out of this. And there's just not any pure au jus. It all just is too rich. You know, it's
right.
Kind of
and
like,
what happens?
About. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what happens is, when, especially when you use Wagyu with all that fat, and if you use all that fat thinking it's a good au jus, which is not, you brush that thing on your brisket and it looks pretty, but I guarantee you when you turn it in, it's going to be coagulated. Nothing but you got nothing but a thin film of fat on there. And then let them people bite into that piece of fat, and it just feels like, you know, you can feel it on your lips, that grease, and they're not going to score you well.
No. So let's talk about that. So the whole time your brisket cooks on the grill.
Yeah.
No Texas crutch, no foil, no nothing.
Well, just, not no more with my pit maker, man. You know what I mean?
You're getting a ton of moisture, yeah.
Yeah, and another thing, too, and you're going to see it, you know, I'm going to be on that new show, Barbecue Pit Masters.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is you know, a big deal. This is probably one, it's kind of, you know, the whole, you know, the Lincoln Douglas debate type of thing. And one of my biggest things is, you know, everybody says fat side up or fat side down. And the way I cook, I do fat side down. And the reason why is because I don't ever foil it. And and people who foil put fat side up and then they foil it. I don't, you know, unless, you know, when I rest it or right when it's about to, you know, go to sleep. And the reason why is that I create a heat barrier between, the, you know, the fat and the heat. Even though it's still moist, it, you know, I want that bark to really get on that brisket.
That top side, absolutely. No,
right,
because
that's the only side. A lot of people don't realize it. This is my explanation of why I do it fat side down, is that side is, first of all, your money side with all your bark. And if you put it down, you know, while it cooks the first couple of hours, you're not going to get that bark on there. It's going to come off when you start spraying it. And it kind of dries it out, you know, especially if you have a, you know, a smoker that's really high heat or has some hot spots. So that thick layer of fat just really, it's kind of like a,
well, so,
I guess
well,
you
like,
call it a.
It's kind of your brisket condom.
Exactly.
It's my brisket layer condom. Of protection.
Exactly. And that's why you do that. And, you know, I get these guys, oh, no, you got to do it up and because the meat runs down. You know, I understand that, but that's if you have meat on the bottom of it, you know, and they can just moist each other. But at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, and I've always been a fat side down brisket guy. I don't care if it was on the stick burner we started on, the insulated cooker we went to, the pellet cooker we went to, the new insulated cooker we went to. It's one of those things that, I just, if you ever look at the science of the fat going from the fat cap down into the meat, it's kind of bullshit, Ernest. If you ever look at the physics of it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell a bunch of people. People are thick-headed and, you know, barbecue's pride. And, you know, that's why I told, you know, when you see this new show coming up on Pitmasters, you know, me and this guy Lockheads, and he's a great guy and all, but you know, when you got a garage full of trophies to prove that you're wrong, I'm not gonna listen to you. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. And that's the thing to me is, I mean, if you look at it, and you know, it's the same thing behind the whole put it on high heat right off the bat because it sears the juices wrong. You know, same. It's that whole getting to the physics of meat. And
right.
Moisture penetration, moisture retention, and moisture escaping, and
exactly.
You know, it's not too hard to learn. So, dude, I'm right there with you, fat side down, and I cannot wait to see that episode, which I believe you're kicking off this season of Pitmasters, right?
Yeah, we're actually kicking off the season this season, man, and we were excited to do it, and we were honored to be asked. And we'll see what happens, man.
Well, yeah, it you know, and so do you feel like that was probably a hell of a lot easier after winning Chopped, right?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? You know, it's not even close, amigo. You know, you got, okay, prime example, you got what, 10 minutes and go, or what do we have, 10 minutes and then, or 20 minutes and 30? This is like, you know, you sit there, you draw to what opposition you get to meet, and then they said, okay, you got 8 hours. You know, come on, 8 hours, are you serious? You know, I do that with my eyes closed.
I can fix a lot of shit in 8 hours.
Exactly.
In 20 minutes, I can't even get a beef rib halfway done. So, you know, that's just the way it rolls. So, no, but I think it was, I mean, obviously that prepared you for something like going into Pitmasters. It's just, you know, once it's not easy because it's a contest against really good cooks, but it gives you more time to think, strategize. And it's more in your element. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I felt, and if you can see the difference, if you saw Chopped and you see the way my attitude is on Pitmasters, it's day and night. Why? First, you're scared crapless over there on Chopped. But I'm on my element in barbecuing.
Yes.
You know, that's my thing. You know, that's our thing. It's just like if I brought you back, Chad, on Chopped, but they said, hey, it's a barbecue edition and you got 8 hours. Are you going to feel more comfortable? Oh, we're going to do those beef ribs that you did in the first round.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable doing it.
Yep.
You know, and it's just because that's what we're good at.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, it made it really good. Worked with a great staff. The, you know, everybody was professional there. The other two guys were, you know, I make good friends. They're funny, you know, especially Will. Will's really funny. He's the one that we have the big, great debate on. So, you know, but I really wish everybody could tune in and watch that on Destination America. One thing I really wish is, I totally agree, I wish they would pick, you know, about five or six cooks, either in KCBS Florida, let's go Texas, let's go, and follow them on a circuit for, you know, six cooks off. Because then you actually learn what they're doing. You only
character
can,
development.
We
yes.
can't, exactly, man. And you can't really see us, what we're doing in our element on this show, which is okay, you know, but it's one of those type of things I really wish it went back to the old thing.
Yeah, and
but
dude,
Myron's a cool cat, man.
I'm right there with dude. I'll tell you what. Been fortunate enough to drink a lot of Crown Royal with Myron Mixon. And and that's a fun guy. You know, I'll tell you what, that guy's put on a persona and drew a thing about him that has made him a lot of money.
That's what I'll say. A persona that made him money all the way to the bank.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, man. I've cooked next to that guy, you know, 10 times since Pitmasters. And I've never seen one person walk over there and say, can I have an autograph? Can I have a picture? Will you sign my cookbook? None of that. And him not go, absolutely, young man. Are you absolutely, young lady? Come on, you know, come on over here. You know, and that's just, at the end of the day, as much as Myron's got that badass persona, doesn't give a shit on TV, when you go meet the guy in person, he's a good fella. And he exudes what the barbecue community is about. And that's key, because if he really was an asshole, and that's our focal point of competition barbecue, that's not good for us. But no, when people go see him in a contest, they go, man, that is a super nice guy, you know?
Right. You know, I'll tell you one thing, and this is going to blow your mind. First of all, I don't care who you are. When you get on the show, you are really wanting to meet Tuffy and Myron. And Aaron, okay, he's out there, but he's a cool guy too. But you really want to not meet these guys because it's kind of cool to meet them finally. You know, you've seen them on TV all this time. But what made it awesome was before, you know, they said cut, and Myron Mixon came straight to me and said, you did an awesome job on Chop representing us Barbecue Brothers. Now, that was awesome. You know,
that
now I knew that guy was cool. You know, and then, you know, that's awesome. You know, that meant that he watched the show. You know, Tuffy was there, too. You know, they were complimenting me on how I did on Chopped, and that was awesome that they actually watched the show. But, you know, I did not only did I do a good job, I hope my whole goal was to represent our barbecue culture, not just Texas. But, look, us guys from any barbecue around the states, we're good people. You know, we're humble people. We like good, you know, and the sad part is I guarantee you, if you call me and you were in Oklahoma and your truck broke down, I say, where are you at? GPS, and I'm on my way. That's what kind of people we are. And, you know, that doesn't matter where you are in the United States. That's how what kind of barbecuers are. We're good people, man.
We're our own other little community and kind of cult.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Hey, and dude, I'm proud to call myself a member of it. And, yep. And the whole reason I do this show, the whole reason that I let people into my camp that are probably going to kick my ass 2 months later and show them the ropes of it is I want to grow this community. And
right.
That's what it's all about, you know?
And you're doing a great job, man. Doing a great job.
All right. Hey, for you guys, we're 10 seconds out. The live show is going to go off in probably 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we're going to come back with Ernest Cervantes. And we're going after hours. And it's probably going to be at least a good 15, 20 minutes. So come get you some. All right, brother. We're back. And I agree, man. That whole community thing is where it's really at. So we getting back to kind of my idea I had, we beat up brisket, and I think it was super, super cool. You got actually some of the tips were very nice. I'm going to leave ribs and chicken for the next time I bring you on.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about this dang trailer.
Yeah. La Bruja.
I do.
The Magic Woman.
Dude, I am a fan of anything in Florida terms, Southern terms, what we call murdered out. And, dude, that flat black trailer, the way you've got it set up, dude, that's been your little, that's been the thing you want, right?
Yeah, that's my trophy.
hey, dude, and how good, man. You get to take it every contest you go cook. You got those, what are you cooking on, 2 volts?
I got 1 volt. I got one big old volt, and then I got a Grillmeister on there too. A 48-inch. I'm sorry, a 32-inch Grillmeister, and that thing's a beast. And both of them custom made. Everything's murdered out, flat black, but not your barbecue black. It's an auto paint black on the volt, and then a Virat Falcone made my custom. Graphics on it. Actually, they're not graphics. They're custom airbrush. It's just insanely sick. That thing is just. I think. Honestly, I'm afraid to see how many car wrecks have happened when people are trying to stare at the back of my car, and they don't watch the light and they end up hitting someone. You know, it's a head turner.
Dude, well, it's awesome, man. I mean, we talked about it the first time you were on the show. Some of the sacrifices you made with your former pull behind pit that you had, just because. You know, that's what the family needed. That's what true times called for, and to see it having something, you know, that's you know 10 times better than a pull behind pit from a being able to get some sleep comfort point of view. It's nice to see you upgrade if you don't mind me saying that.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise. You know, it was one of those type of things that my wife, you know, and the kids are getting older.
Yep.
And they were really expressing themselves now because they're older. I got one that's 14 and one that's 7, and they, you know, they really love to support dad, but they hate being out in the elements. So my wife, you know, really said, hey, what can we do? And we got together, and let's do this barbecue porch thing. The inside's got air conditioning, you know, TV, DVD, everything, kitchen and everything. So it's a little like a little RV. Let them go out and do what they want to do inside and play video games. While dad and mom are outside doing what we love, which is socializing with the barbecue brothers, barbecuing and our thing. So it's we're all happy.
Let's talk about the trailer a little bit and maybe do a little virtual walkthrough, if you will. So
right.
who built it for you? Who built the trailer itself?
Becker Trailers. They're out of Wisconsin. What they primarily do, they do some concessions, but they do a lot of snowmobile trailers for the pros and all that stuff. So they really had snowmobile trailers, but they're the only ones that I know of in America that do the seamless blacked out walls. So that's what I wanted. You know, the burn bean, we always had black shirts, you know, all this stuff. Everybody has a black, you know, if you do a bar, let's talk about barbecue porch. Everybody has a black barbecue porch, a red one, a yellow one. One that's wrapped up in vinyls, but no one had one that was murdered out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be the first. And so when the guys, I talked to those guys, and you know, I said, hey, look, I really want one, and they thought I was kidding. And they're like, oh, come on. You know, they were really cool with me. They said, no, we got yellow. I said, I want to murder that one. And I said, and he goes, are you serious? I said, how much do I need to put on this check to tell you how serious I am? You know? So once I got those guys believing in my vision, and once we started talking, because at Beggar Trailers, it's not a cookie cutter trailer.
Yeah.
They start from the ground up. So if you want a 33 and a half, foot trailer, they will make you a 33 and a half trailer. They
yep.
won't say, no, you only can pick between a 16, a 20, and 18.
Yep.
So, you know, once we got them on board and when we started getting the designer, he got excited, I got excited, then they were all on board when they were doing the trailer. So it was a lot more fun. When you got people that want to see a one-of-a-kind first trailer to ever come out of their assembly, and they've done thousands of trailers, a murdered-out barbecue porch custom trailer. You know, that's
yeah.
where it went off.
Well,
and it's funny because once we started this whole thing, you know, we did the walls. The inside walls are as this new stainless steel walls that they never even had on any other trailer. So we were setting the standards for everything that was in there. And we were the first ones ever to have blacked out trailer rims on the darn thing too.
Yeah.
We were actually going to put chrome rims on there.
No.
And some chrome rims were black, but that was the only thing because there was no such thing as black trailer rims.
Yeah.
So we were the first ones to get powder coated black rims on those things, and they look sick.
It looked when I saw that first picture on Facebook, I was like, "You have got to be shitting me! This trailer looks just awesome." You know, and it was, like I said, I mean, I'm just personally a fan of the whole flat, murdered out, just look. It just screams badass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's more
badass vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. And so So that is that is too cool. And so Beck takes care of that for you, and then you go over to your guys, George and Victor, right?
Yeah, George and Victor. We've had this vision of you know, I told them what I you know. Because at first they wanted me to get a trailer, but I told them what I wanted, and they understood. They, you know, they knew. I've been with them since day one of this whole, and it's kind of funny because the first thing out of my mouth was when I got my pit. They used to own Pits and Spits out of Houston.
Yep.
And the first thing when my wife and I worked so hard to get that pit, the first thing I told them when I got my pit was, one day this pit's going to make me famous and get me somewhere in life. And if it wasn't for that pit, I would have never been on Chopped.
Yep.
And they said, okay. And I was their biggest fan. You know, I was always their fan. I always promoted their product. So when it went to Pit Maker, you know, and I became, you know, the Chop Champion or whatever, I had so many barbecue guys, so many guys asking me to endorse their products or, you know, let me try them out.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed true to the people who got me to that point.
Yep.
And I said, I'm the only one Pit Maker. And not only are they some of the greatest guys, and I call them my brothers, but they make a great pit. So it was a no-brainer on that part. And what we did to install the smokestack with my Day of the Dead skull and Varick, it took us 3 months to get that whole design out. And when we put everything together with the vinyl graphics from Pixel Works, the thing looks crazy cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's awesome. I love the darn thing.
So we talked about kind of breaking down the trailer. What's the length on it? Ernest.
It's how long is it, babe? 22? Yeah, it's a 22. It's actually, it's 16 feet inside. It's a 22-foot long trailer
yep.
by 8.5. Okay, it's 16 feet. Actually, it's 14 feet, but with a 2-foot angle front,
and yep.
all interior, and then a 6-foot porch, 7-foot window, 7-foot ceilings on that thing.
All right,
double insulated because of the Texas heat.
So let's say, you've got the back door off the porch to get in, and you've got the side door, right?
Right. The side doors are open. Yep. Everything's open.
So let's say we walk in that side door, and, you know, you talked about the kids being in there, the air conditioning, you know, this and that.
Right.
So when we walk in the side door, to our right's the Vinos, right?
Yeah, the right's the Vinos. That's where all the TVs are at.
That's where the TVs are at.
Right.
And you got somewhere for the kids to sit right there in the Vinos.
Right. Right there at the Vinos, that's where they sit. If you look straight ahead, there's a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they can lay down and watch TV. You turn to the left, right on the left side of the wall is our prep our sink and our one of our prep tables. And
mm-hmm.
then on the other side, right by the door, is where I have all my my big prep table, stainless steel prep table. It's got my drawers, it's got my lights and everything.
So that's probably where you're doing your raw prep, and the other table's probably where you may be building your boxes.
That's exactly what we do, and that's what, underneath all those tables is where we store everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you go out the back door, and there you got your 6 foot of porch with your two cookers.
Yep. Right. Right when you out the outside door, I got all the doors too are actually 36-inch doors for us big boys.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go
sideways.
I don't want to go sideways. Let's put it that way.
Buddy.
I wanted to walk outside. You know, and they all have screen porches, so if it's a cool day, we can have it out there on the screen porch.
Yeah.
You walk out to the left is the big smoker. You close the door to the right is our Grillmeister and the trash can.
It's
all recessed lighting, and we're one of the few that have recessed lighting in the pit. Recessed lighting. That's the stuff you get in the house.
No, absolutely. And to me, man, the next trailer that we own as a team will be a porch trailer. It's the only way to go.
You cook on it, you clean it, and it's ready to go for the next cook-off. You don't even have to unload anything. And I forgot, right when you walk in, we have an automatic push-button awning that comes out.
Nice.
And it's black, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, that is killer, brother. I love that.
Yeah. Right now we're working on the LEDs. We're going to have custom LEDs underneath the lighting, underneath the trailer, so when we're rolling down the road, it's glowing red.
Dude, that's killer. I love it, dude. You are definitely pimp my ride style, this thing.
Yeah. Some people got a $30,000 hot rods. I got a $30,000 barbecue rig. So,
I like it. I love it.
It was good times, and I'm very blessed that my wife gave me the thumbs up and let me have it.
No, that's super cool. So the coolest thing you've done since being anointed Chop Grill Master Champion?
What's the coolest thing
Like the thing that you've been invited to do and done, and you've went, man, this was pretty damn cool.
I've done a lot of cool things, but let me tell you something, brother, that's the one thing that I'll always cherish for the rest of my life is getting phone calls and emails from the small town people that are from my hometown saying, you know what, I had big dreams and my mom and dad thought they were unachievable, but when I saw that show, I'm going for my dreams. That just pays itself in gold. You know, when I get people from a small town USA and not even in my town, but they're saying, hey, look, because of you, you've inspired me to try to go to New York or to try to go and become a singer. And because my mom and dad think, because we're from a small town, we can't make it. That's awesome. You know, I don't know. The coolest thing, I don't know. I think the coolest thing I've been on since the show, I guess, is, being on different kind of TV shows, kind of like those morning shows. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. The Pitmasters thing, let's talk about, I mean, obviously a very different production environment than Chopped, right? I've heard that Pitmasters is a very thin crew. Whereas me or you could not turn one step left or one step right without, do you need water? Let me look at you.
Right.
I mean, Chopped had, what'd they say, over 100 people.
Right.
You know, and Tucson that week, just production folks. And then, I mean, I think Pitmasters does, well, what, half a dozen?
Yeah, about that. You know.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking about it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, half a dozen.
I think 6. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit different, you know, and we're kind of curious to see how they portray us on the show. So, it was a lot more laid back, and it was a lot, one thing I do want, I really wish they could go back to the old format, and we would love to be on that when they go back to the old format.
Yes, dude, I would too. I would love that. I love the old format. So, The other thing is, and here's a question. I bet you did not have to turn in an audition tape, did you?
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it. I was like, dude, there's no way in hell after winning Chop Grill Masters, this guy's got to go, well, here's my 5-minute audition tape. Here's who I am. Blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. You know, that is pretty funny, brother. So let's talk a little bit about 2013. What's ahead for you?
Man, 2013, I'm going hard. You know, this season was hard on us. You know, 2012 was a blessing, but one thing we did miss out was a lot of cook-offs.
Yeah.
I missed about 60% of my cook-offs. I missed all the big ones. So this year, we're going hard. We got a new rig this whole time. Once I'm out of school this coming month, I'm going hard practicing. We're going to go hard on the circuit. We're going to try to qualify for the Royal right off the bat. We're going to try to hit the World Series because qualify for both, didn't get to go. So I'm definitely hitting that this year. I'm going to try to hit for the Jack this year too. And my goal is to go out of state and do a couple of cook-offs out there somewhere.
Dude,
so,
that's awesome. Well, hey, if you decide to do a KCBS and you need a guy to fly your wing, dude, I'm only a phone call or a text away. And and secondly, I've made a commitment. I'm gonna, if the invitation's still open, I'm gonna come down there and cook a contest with you down there in your IBCA parts.
Yeah, man. And not only that, man, we're making plans. We did make plans to go to Disney World, and we might be driving out there. So I might just go. I don't know how close you are to Orlando.
Seriously, I'm 40 minutes from Disney World.
Okay, well, on the way to traveling, I'm going to have to stop by and hang out with you, maybe go eat some barbecue or somewhere.
Dude, you guys will come to my house, and I'll cook you a proper steak.
There you go. We're gonna have to meet up, man.
Absolutely, man. No, that'd be great, dude. Especially you do it out of the pressure of trying to win $50,000 and cameras and all that stuff. It'd be nice just to sit down, have a cold beer, and eat some well-cooked protein.
There you go, man. I'm all for it, brother.
Excellent, man. Well, Ernest, dude, thank you so much. You know it's not the last time you're going to be on the show. We always love having you on. You've always got so much to contribute, brother. And we can't wait to have you back on. And best
all
of
right,
luck.
Man.
Happy holidays, brother. Enjoy this Christmas.
Happy holidays to you. Yeah.
And
take care.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right, bud. See you. All right, guys. Ernest Cervantes wrapping up the After Hours segment. And with that being said, we are going to go right into the closing, potentially for the last time ever, Lunatic Fringe.